Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Pulling Heartstrings with the Matriarch here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. Ladies and gentlemen, today is Wednesday, the 2nd of... This is the 2nd of the 7th month, 2025, and... welcome to Pulling Heartstrings. So, ladies and gentlemen, today I was going through, the conversations, and I was thinking, which man, this lovely Wednesday, what are we going to be talking about? Because, you know, this is also the conversation where you guys, or the day where you guys have now the ability to bring up the topic, to come through and then say that, you know what, today I want to talk about this, or today I want to talk about that, or I was thinking about something and this is what it was. So I was thinking, okay, so the number in studio is 083-288-401 in case you would like to call in and come through and buzz me up. That is the number in studio. So I was thinking, you know how we get tired, right? We get tired of everything. And no matter how many vacations you take, no matter how many retreats you take, no matter how many times you go to the village to go and rest, no matter how many times you go to Komafuta, you are just still tired. You're still tired. You're exhausted. You're mentally drained. You're overwhelmed. You are at the last, the bottom of the barrel. And it is an overwhelming time. You know, it's an overwhelming time, especially for those that are in their late 20s and 30s, right? Chasing 40. Now, those people, they are a bit on the rough side, because it seems as if you have to catch up to make sure that when you get to your 40s, right, you are in a good space financially, and also your kids are big. So it's like you have to work, you still have to make kids, you still have to be somebody's partner, you still have to get educated, you still have to own property, you still have to own a business, you still have to work for another business. It doesn't end there by the mid-20s and all of your 30s, right? People said that the 30s are the dirty 30s. And I was excited for the 30s, you know. I was like, oh my goodness. So when I become 30, it's gonna be awesome, it's gonna be great. Ha ha. Then I got to the 30s, then I realized that the only thing that you're doing in your 30s, ne, is trying to avoid outside. You're trying to avoid outside and you're just trying to get the bag. You're trying to make sure that the kids that you are having, right, are going to be stand-up citizens, and they're going to be stand-up people. And so you are trying to instill morals and principles and ethics, and you're trying to live by example, and you're trying to lead by example, and you are trying your utmost best for everything to go smoothly, right? And in this, somewhere, somehow, you burn out. You burn out because it's not as easy, or it's not as laid back as the early 20s. I believe the early 20s were very laid back. Looking at my life in my early 20s and looking at my life right now, my life is more comfortable now, in a sense that, in the sense of independence and financial independence, and also just own space and own children, own assets, and self, you know. But I can say that with that kind of joy, right, came a little bit of stress. Hello, hello.
Good evening, Mathe.
Good evening, Tate Buana.
How are you, ma'am?
Do we ever get to a point where we are not exhausted anymore?
Oh, my sister. my daughter, let me tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, yes, there are times when maybe you are not exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
To the fullest, or maybe to the limit of your energy and mm-hmm. your mind and everything,
mm-hmm.
the soul and body and the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But like you say, burnout and all these things,
mm-hmm.
because our mind needs to be functioning.
Yeah.
And the body needs to be functioning.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you become more fatigued.
Mm-hmm.
And then by trying to avoid the exhaustion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, but then, because of this responsibility, the
yeah.
secular engagement, mm-hmm. the social one, mm-hmm. and all spiritual engagement, and many, many other things.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we don't really feel, we don't want to feel so much idle.
Mm.
They say idle mind is the workshop of the devil.
Mm.
We have to avoid some of these things,
mm.
and then we perhaps need to be engaged, to be more active. So, and of course, the burnout is not a good thing.
Yeah.
Sometimes it destabilizes your mind, your peace and mind.
Mm.
Especially when this, when you are so much involved,
mm.
maybe let's say at workplace,
mm.
and we do not listen, many people do not listen to this program.
Yeah.
Where you can somehow administer healing
mm.
to us.
Mm.
And all these things.
Mm.
So I think let me attend to this one. I will come back. But it's very important that you are talking about instilling values, good values,
mm-hmm.
in the life of the people.
Mm-hmm.
So the children.
Yeah.
So now what you are saying here is that sometimes it's important
mm.
to also make sure that you take some healing.
Mm.
I mean to
take heal. Some time off.
Yeah, sometimes off.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good thing.
Mm.
So, and then we exercise it also. Our mind through many, many other things.
Yeah.
So burnout is a big problem.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to seriously look at it.
Yeah.
At work,
mm-hmm.
let them have some programs, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some programs to make sure that they take their people out, some kind of retreat.
Mm-hmm.
And my experience is that many a times, those things, you know, they are just perhaps done 1 hour to 1 day, to half a day.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to make sure that, because it's actually compulsory, wellness programs.
Mm-hmm.
It's mandatory.
Yeah.
To, and the countries have signed, ratified those kind of programs
mm.
because they are good, because they want people to be more productive.
Yeah.
So when they are so burnt out and overloaded by work
mm.
and you don't take them out, mm-hmm. people are bombarding them outside there
mm-hmm.
and you are just there. People are so fatigued and you don't take them out for a retreat and run and make funny and all these other things.
Mm.
So we seriously need to do a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
So that our children, as we instill now those ones that we're talking about, those values,
yeah.
at least our children are not neglected in that those areas of socialization.
Mm-hmm.
So we need just to ensure that we put programs in there, what you are doing, what is man, a black man or a child
mm-hmm.
is facing.
Yeah.
So women are now getting into serious way of abusing men.
Okay.
And the boys are remaining behind. I'm wondering how they will partner up with their couples, with their women now in future.
Mm.
Oh, it's a serious issue, mama. And I think this one I will relate it to you tomorrow as well.
Mm.
And I will see how I can also incorporate this, what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And so please, let's see, make sure that our people at work and everywhere at home, they must be engaging.
Mm.
So if exhaustion is there. Once it comes, what do you do? You know, do running, you know, do a lot of things.
But one question that I also wanted to ask, Tatebwana, is when we are off, are we really off?
No, we are not, because we cannot be off.
Why can't we be off?
Off with the, that's what
like,
I'm saying.
Like you just okay, you take maybe leave, but it's just because you've burned out and you're overwhelmed and you're tired and then you take leave. But what do you do when you are on leave?
Yeah, maybe that is something that we do not know, even myself. Huh? So all the time I you say I'm on leave. Mm-hmm. I've never been on leave to be just seated down or just like that. So maybe my life is not accustomed to that.
Yeah.
So I'm always engaged. I'm always engaged. So now, even if I'm not engaged in the fiscal, I'm end up doing this fiscal job. So now all these things.
So now you go for 2 weeks and you are supposed to be on vacation, unwinding and resting and curing your burnout. And then you go and do physical labor. Now, are you going to be productive when you come back to work?
Yeah, because I've been energized more. You know, most of the work that we do, so they only require to give you some kind of trouble as far as the mind is concerned. And when the mind is now tired, perhaps that also translates into physical exhaustion. So, but when you do some physical work at home, it's more healing because at work, your mind can be tired and then the whole body anyway. But when you are out here like myself, I kufukuva, mekatana, and I kaki teeth. I diki, I ningingaha. So that one is a big healing. You can equate it to with
physical
exercise that I was talking about. So maybe there are really many ways, like I said, that's your question that you pose. Yeah, maybe, yeah, sometimes you relax really. Sit down. Those who watch the TV, yeah, you watch soccer.
Yeah.
I watch this... this issues of martial arts, those ones. So then this time around, the current news of Trumps and the world. So maybe sometimes you end up sleeping if I just have to be sitting in the chair and all just like that. So I don't know. Maybe there are ways of overcoming that one when you now go and leave. But when they give us leave, especially during the day or whatever, we are not on leave. We are just going there to be there
to do other work.
To do other work, which is not even recognized.
It's recognized by you, Moss. You but recognize it.
Okay. So, yeah, I was listening yesterday in your conversation with Kwedi. Quite was quite interesting. And I think you spoke from that time until when I look at the time, it was 00 something. I said, oh, it's gone. So, but thank you very much, Mami, for giving us that. So let us help us as to how do we really balance up our activity without neglecting the instilling of the good value of the children and things like that. So maybe we are the one neglecting them. I don't know.
I don't think we are really neglecting them. I think we are neglecting ourselves, and then it affects them. Because if you are having a tired parent, how active is this parent going to be in your life?
Imagine. You are actually correct. So that process is actually, a multi-kind of facilitated kind of thing. And so we actually migrate to ourselves in the process, the households, and we end up being victim of our nature. So self-management is very important. Let's be, and I think, you know, at one point you're having your program of that nature that, yes, we are investing ourselves. Let's take care of ourselves. Let's shop our Kentucky nicely also sometimes. And then those one piece of Kentucky is enough. So enjoy yourself. You can go to the what, you know, like me, sometimes I go to Vance Bar. But I mine is just to run around and do exercise and come back home.
And then?
Ewa.
Ewa.
Good.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. So today is Wednesday and you can come in and then we can talk about the conversation that you would like to talk about. But if not, you can also contribute to the conversation that I'm having. So I initially was talking about the burnout, you know, the burnout and being overwhelmed and how life is from 25 all the way to 40. And it's crazy. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening, Tate King.
How are you, man?
Well, I am so much better. You guys are doing the things today because fairly, Mina, I'm at burnout. You know, I like to talk about myself. Hey? So me, I'm at burnout and overwhelmed. And you guys are coming through for me. So I don't have to talk much.
We are overwhelmed.
We are overwhelmed. Oh. You know why I'm laughing?
Yeah.
I'm laughing because I usually only think, I usually think that things only affect me alone. And then I come here, and then I realize, Kucha, can't we are many?
Have you not heard that, there is nothing new under
the sun? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think when I say things also, I don't apply it to everything.
Number one, I'm tired of Coke.
Of Coca-Cola.
Is there no...
No other cool drink.
Another drink, man.
Me, I started those sparkle drinks.
I'm tired of this cool drink with sugar and gas.
No, but I started the other cool drink because I also got tired of the Coca-Cola and I was like, no man, I want something else.
I normally, I'm like this. Mm-hmm. 1 year, I'll be drinking Coke. I'll drink Coke. Mm-hmm. The other year, I'll only drink juice.
Okay.
And now I found myself this year I'm supposed not to drink Coke.
You are addicted.
And now, this is mid-year, and I'm still drinking Coke.
Oh.
I'm tired of Coke, man.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, I'm tired of paying people to do things like I can do better. Oh.
Then why don't you do them?
I don't have time for them. I'm trying to work hard on the other side. You know, even now, man, I feel like, if somebody can just cut me in here and just open me a bit, this body is tired, yo.
Mm-hmm.
If this one was a car, a taxi.
Yeah. It's one of those old ones.
And, you know, this time, or at this age of ours, we are trying to do many things. We are actually overloaded. This side we have our dreams and plans. And we also have to live life to the fullest. On top of that, we have people that are leaning on us. And then there are others who are leaning on us without them knowing. And these ones we still have to... These are the young ones, man. We have to plan the future for them. Because for them now, they cannot even plan anything. That's on our shoulders. So even if I happen to die anytime, there must be a plan for these young ones. Like, you know what? Let them not go this way, but perhaps they will have this, you know? They will... at least find it easier to live.
Yeah.
And then we also have the dying group that is also on our shoulders.
Which one is that one? Or the seniors.
The seniors. You know, this one, no matter how hard we fight for them, their time is coming to the end. Every day.
Yeah, so mean.
I know,
yeah, it's like, like, whoa, yeah. What group?
Our loved ones, our seniors.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Our pioneers.
Our seniors, please, our elders.
I don't know, people, when they say pioneers, they are thinking of, I don't know, maybe I don't understand. I hear people saying, pioneers, and it's the young ones that are referred to. For me, the pioneers are those old ones. They have pioneered everything for us. So, we are following their footsteps, and we are grateful.
Mm-hmm.
So, we also have to take care of them. Mm. The same way they were taking care of us when we were not having dreams.
Yeah.
So, it's a cycle. Mm.
So, and the problem now, here is dreams.
Yeah, actually.
Yeah, because dreams people, are the ones that are ruining our lives.
Yeah, people with no dreams, their tummies are just expanding, and you think, this one, they don't have problems. Eh?
No.
Even if somebody passed away, they don't care because they know already, like, you know what, everybody knows, like, you know what, you cannot expect me to contribute anything.
Yeah.
But those that are working, when they hear there is a wedding or there is somebody person.
Yeah.
It's another
sign of a headache that's coming in.
Yeah, that one is another knockout. You say, I just had the plan to do this. And all of a sudden, I have to travel to the north for this. And you know what? I have to contribute.
Yeah.
So, this becomes now, let me work hard.
Oh.
We end up working hard to the point that, you know, we are like taxis in Windhoek. You know, a taxi in Windhoek, during the day, the authorized driver is driving.
Yeah, and then at night they give the...
At night, there is another unlicensed
driver. Because we can't allow the taxi to just be sitting doing nothing.
Yeah, because there is a gap to...
to fill.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we are like that. When you are at work, let me say you are in Windhoek or you are in Oshakati, you are working hard, or working overtime, and then you get a week off, or some of you maybe get your, I'm not you. There are people that get a month off.
Where will I get that?
Let me say, now you get even just a weekend off, man. You go wherever you are planning to build your house. I don't even understand why are we building houses if we are dying. When you are no longer working, you go to that thing that you have been building over the years, then all of a sudden you are gone.
If we had to look at life in its true form, right? Nothing would be done, Tateking.
Yeah.
Nothing would be done. The world would not evolve. Nothing would be done because the reality of being a human being in itself, right, is such a sad one. It's such a sad one. Not unless you have a good heart and you're doing everything for other people. But if you're doing things for yourself, you should know that it's not yours.
Yeah. Whatever you think you are doing it for yourself.
Yeah.
You are not just doing it for yourself. Mm-hmm. You are also doing it for those that are around you, those that are connected to you. There are people that are connected to you, but while you are in life, they are watching you from far.
Yeah.
They don't want to be part of what you are doing. But once
they
you
want
are born,
to, yeah, they want to take the
will
proceeds.
Fight over, they will fight for your kettle.
Yeah, your
they
things.
They will fight over your house. Everybody wants to get something from you.
They will say, yeah, I'm also cousin. You are also my uncle. You are also my father. Things like that. But now, imagine you get 2 days off, you go to the farm, and there is another heavyweight. You are lifting up his poles and doing things, and you are exhausted. Sunday you come back.
Monday is work.
Before you leave, you have to make sure you finalize second thing there, the farm. And then you come. Monday,
it's
you
work.
Are exhausted. You are at this pain work.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, just like Uncle Kona said, the other work is not even recognized. But then you are using the same body, getting tired. And you know, sometimes you even get tired than what you do in town.
Yeah, you get more tired than how you get tired at the one that is actually paying.
Paying you. Yeah, when you come here, you're
finished, man.
Finished.
Ugh.
Yeah, so now if this is not balanced, and this is why a lot of our people are getting illness that we cannot even define.
Yeah.
Because now you have all these burdens, everything is plugged on you. It's like you're making a plug in the house.
Yeah.
You plug on the TV, everything, the phone, everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is just overloaded.
Mm-hmm.
It starts to trip.
Mm-hmm.
So if we are not careful, we come to a point where we find ourselves, let me say, as much as we are busy with work and the other things, we must find time to keep ourselves happy.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you come to a point where you are just there.
But I don't think we can be happy. I don't think we are capable of happiness, us.
You know, we can be happy when? Even if you are happy for 5 minutes.
Okay.
It's fine.
Okay.
Then the other, you recharge. It's okay. Like that is fine. There are people who don't smile.
At all. But they feel joy in their heart most.
The last time they smiled.
Was 97.
Yeah.
when their last born was born.
Some of them, but now when things are changing and everything is like, man, now I have to buy bread. I have to buy electricity. I have to do this, you know. Last time they smiled is when they were at school, because parents were doing everything. Now you find people that, you know, they're just stressed. If a child come home and tell you, mommy, the teacher said this, and your teacher was...
You know, every time I see every time my daughter comes home from school, she always has a letter. I'm so tired of that school.
Yeah, you see?
No.
All those things
should
not drain our joy.
Mm.
If we are not careful, that's why you hear sometimes, listen to your neighbors sometimes. Just a simple thing. They are shouting at the children. The problem is not the children. It's what is in their heart. How they are feeling every day they wake up, every day they go to sleep. There is something that is disturbing their peace. And you know what? Even if you go and visit them, they are not happy. Why is she coming this time of the month? Why? If you come at the end of the month, why is she coming when I just got paid? Come when, maybe on the 15th day, there's no food and she's coming here. The food here is only enough for me and you.
In this holiday of ours, my dear, we have kids that are going back to their houses.
There are kids
that are going back to their houses. Tashuna. And then they are the ones that are also yours. Then they went with, like with mine, they went with their grandmother to the north at least, so we are fine, we are just with the small one. But then the big girls, they came, Elizabeth.
And you know what? To make it worse, if we are not disciplining the young ones, they will ruin our joy.
Yeah. They will come and ruin our joy in a time where we need our joy. Because they won't ruin it now because they are young, right? But if they grow up like that, then they are going to be adults that are going to be ruining our lives.
But they can start now already, step by step. I have seen parents who have no freedom in their houses. I don't know if English language was somehow foolish. In Oshiwambo, when you speak, a person can clearly understand that, you know what, the house where you are coming from is not yours.
Yeah.
But in English, they say, that's my house.
Yeah.
Everybody says, it's
they
my
take
house.
Ownership, yeah.
Yeah. Now, the father builds the house.
Mm-hmm.
And with a mother,
mm-hmm.
and now kids are saying, yeah, that's my house.
Mm.
And then who speaks or who is in charge in that house? Some houses, kids are the ones that have the final say.
Mm.
If they say, no, we want to watch this work, that's it. The whole day.
But I believe that one, the fight of the TV, ne? Cause we were having the conversation, I think a week ago with one of my callers here. I've realized that many of us, right, we are so tired of noise and we don't realize that bringing up the kids, being a parent means that you need to endure the noise. Otherwise, if you are going to be giving your kids everything they want because you don't want noise, right? So many people give over the remote, right? Because they are already tired in their lives and they don't want to deal with you screaming. Not me. Not me though. Me. No.
Just give him the phone.
Or just give the key that she wants. You know, my daughter, my youngest name, she's 1 year and 8 months. And I feel like she's abusing her father. Yeah, she's abusing her father. She's small, she doesn't talk, she's a baby, right? But the father thinks that this is baby things. Because this is his first child, isn't she? He thinks that, oh, this is just, she's just a small innocent baby and she doesn't know what she's doing. But she knows what she's doing when she's beating you.
They know.
Why is she not beating me?
This one, they have their wisdom.
Yeah.
And they manipulate.
Guy, and in chofone, guy. And in shuninara straight. Tati wende takumwane.
They know how to manipulate.
Exactly. They are very manipulative. If you allow them, ne? Oh. Kara no problem, anare. And that's what I keep saying, but
You know what, ne? If you are saying, no, just give her the phone. She's making noise, you know? Sometimes they try for things.
Yes.
I say, no, just give what you are actually doing.
Is teaching them that they
you
can.
Are robbing, you are robbing the child of your input.
Yes.
Because you're supposed to be speaking into their life. Now you allow the phone to do the job. And the phone will not do what will.
What you will
fruit.
Do.
Yeah. So, it's tough. That's why nowadays, like for me, God forgive me if you have to. Certain people, I will not allow my children to associate with their children.
Yeah.
Because
of how they are.
Yes.
Yeah, their fruit can never be productive.
Because they are not on the same, they are not moving in the same direction. Imagine you discipline your children, you tell them this, and then their children who are just on their own. They tell parents what they want to eat, what they want to watch. Hey, there must be times for cartoons.
Yes.
and chance
for parents to also enjoy their asset that they bought out of the shop with their money, please. How?
So you buy a TV.
Exactly. And this is the conversation that we had, right? When we went to buy furniture for our house. Ne? Me and the man, we stood there, and the man is like, no, let's get a TV for the room. I said, no, my dear. We will not get a TV for the room. We will share that one TV.
Yeah.
Yes, we'll share that one TV, and we will give others time, right? But it can't just be them the whole time. Shashi nongero taninga antu ya monduda, ano uno na watu ya mono pongapi?
In our house, when I was in Zindu, we have times, like, you know what? From this time to this time, the TV is not on.
Yeah.
If it's making noise, it's the radio.
Yeah.
So, from this time, we are watching this. Or whoever wants to watch, whatever they want to watch. They can. Then, when the children come from school, they know that from this time we watch, and then we go to sleep, we rest.
We rest, yeah.
Then, maybe we watch again another cartoon.
Komatango.
Minutes, yeah. But immediately they know already that, you know what, once they see news, it's time for the news.
Yes.
They are out of their time has expired. They wait for the next day. That means now once from five, or let me say from six, it's no more, the TV now belongs to the elders.
Yeah.
They cannot do anything there. They can't say, I want to watch this. No. Now there are parents who want to watch news.
Now they have to watch news on their phones.
Yeah. They go watch soccer at a friend's house. But they have a big flat screen.
In their house. That they pay for, ne? They even pay for it. Like, do you know how expensive it is?
They say, Peggy, you must pay it for the TV. You see,
pay for ketchup. Pay for ketchup. Like how? For ketchup. So I must pay the 700 and then an extra 120. And I'm not even enjoying that TV. How?
And parents, not only because of, don't only think about your enjoyment. Think about the future of that child.
Yeah.
Any day you can go. Who is going to stay with such a child?
Yeah.
No. No, I'll say no. If that's how your father or mother raised you up, in my house, that will not work.
Yeah.
And if you cannot live under my roof, go somewhere. I'm not your only uncle.
Yeah.
Nonsense.
I'm not your only uncle. So bisu novar in nevarongai kengai.
Ache.
I'm not your only uncle, and I'm not your only uncle here in this town.
All right, Demetric, let me allow others to come in.
All righty, thank you so much.
Bye.
Ciao.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about you. We're talking about being an adult, and we're talking about what we go through in terms of what is happening in your life. So I was speaking about the burnout. I was speaking about being overwhelmed. I was speaking about the fact that it seems as if we are all just on a treadmill, and even when we are supposed to be rejuvenating and recuperating and regrouping, there is no such thing as rest. It's like we are the wicked guys. Because the Bible apparently said, I say apparently because I don't even know what verse it is, because somebody said it and I was like, okay, this sounds like it should, it sounds like it should be in the Bible. It sounds like it is most probably true. They said there's no rest for the wicked. So I feel like we're just being punished for being adults. It's like we are wicked or something, or nengo nginyano, like, because I'm failing to place us. I'm failing to see what we are doing. And all I see is a gang of tired people that are trying their level best to be everything. But I think that the problem that we have mainly also is the fact that It's the fact that there's so much to do in such little time. And in this so much to do in such little time, I'm talking about working. I'm talking about birthing. I'm talking about raising. I'm talking about taking care of the elders. I'm talking about you yourself, right? If you are someone that's young and you want somebody to tell you exactly what's up, that's me. I'll tell you exactly what's happening here at Seniorville. I'll tell you. Because I don't want you to get here and think, I don't want you to rush your time. I don't want you to rush your age and say like, oh, I can't wait till I'm. Because if I knew that this is what the 30s look like, right? I would have chilled. I would have enjoyed more. I would have done more fun activities so that I'm all fanned out. Because right now, right, I feel like I don't do anything fun. I feel like I don't even know how to have fun. I feel like I don't know where anything is. And it's okay, in a sense of outgrowing a few things, right? But even just the bowling or even just date nights or stuff like that, a person, you're always exhausted. And I don't know how to get out of that funk. And I don't know if we as a people or we as the seniors of this generation, my goodness, akuruntu. Shall takutunga kuruntu onyene, otenine atpithanemi. I can't. So how are we going to be more productive? And what do we do when we are off? How do we rest? Right? And we are going to be talking about how to increase your productivity. How to increase your productivity. And at some point also, we're going to be talking about being self-sufficient. Because, if you're going to go off the grid, there's this program that I like to watch, Naked and Afraid. Now, Naked and Afraid, I don't understand why they're naked, but okay. Maybe their clothes will hint that they are whatever. I don't know why they are naked, but it's fine because the camera blurs everything out. So with Naked and Afraid, you are basically dropped somewhere and you just need to survive. Sometimes you have a bow and an arrow. Sometimes you have a fishing line. Sometimes, you know, sometimes there's something that you can use to get food or something, but You just have to survive. Now, I wonder, why do people want to do that? Why do you want to come out of your comfort zone to go and be in the jungle surviving? Be in the jungle and trying to survive and just trying to make it? What would draw somebody to do that? And then I realized that it's not necessarily, or my conclusion of this is that it is wanting to escape your day-to-day life because your day-to-day life is exhausting, and it's not exhausting in the physical sense. It's exhausting in the mental state, in the mental sense. And this mental sense is the one that is making you not productive, because you can have everything going for you and everything is just mediocre. So I was drowning in the thoughts, you know. I was thinking about it. I was like, because I'm exhausted. I'm exhausted. I'm fatigued. I'm there, you know. I'm like, ugh, like, ooh, I, everything is just ooh, I. And also I think that there's a problem there by comfort zone. They say that in order for you to make it in life, you have to get out of your comfort zone. But now the problem is that, in COVID, we were taught, that you need to have an amazing home that makes you want to stay inside your house. So in case another pandemic comes, right, you can survive inside your house. The problem is that our homes are a bit too comfortable. So comfortable that if you don't have a day job that requires you to leave your house and you work from home, right, the possibility of you just becoming part of the furniture inside your house is so high. The possibility of you not interacting with outsiders is so high. The possibility of you not engaging with other adults apart from your partner and any other adults inside your house is so high. And I think that that's where I am. I think that that's where I am. I don't go out for work. I don't see nobody. I don't want to do anything. And that's my problem. I don't want to do anything. I'm tired. I'm like, you know, I don't want to do anything. I just want to be there. I want to cook my food. I want to watch my TV. I want to work because I'm flexible, right? I work from home. You see? I work from home now. Now I work from home. Ever since that house became comfortable, I work from home. And I think that that's my downfall. It's only Eagle FM, ne, that is drawing me out of the dungeons, to be honest. It's only Eagle FM that's drawing me out of the dungeons. Otherwise, right, I can only, can you imagine, like, the last time I was at work was Saturday, for example, right? I come out of the house, eh? Imagine, out of the house at 8 o'clock in the evening on Monday. So that means the rest of Saturday and the whole of Sunday and the whole of Monday, right? I'm just cooped up in my house. But also maybe it's the winter blues, guys. Because this is most not my personality. I'm most not like that. Because I don't think that I'm like that, man. I don't think that I feel like it's not lazy because I'm working. It's not lazy because I'm working. I just feel like it's not the way things should be. I sleep very tired because I'm working all day, but I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving the premises, guys. Yeah. I'm only leaving the premises for Eagle FM. If you're not Eagle FM, I'm not leaving the house. I will not. And maybe that's how people become, is it agoraphobic? That's how people become house bodies. That's how people start having anxiety for going outside because the whole time you're just inside the house. And I don't know. I don't know. If you would like to contribute, if you would like to come and tell me about your kiddies. The kids are on holiday and everybody's complaining about the yogurts. I see the post there about when is school starting with a whole 6-pack of yogurts that has been eaten. And people are complaining about the yogurt. So the number in studio is 083-288-401. From 10 o'clock, we're going to be talking, we're going to dive into how to increase our productivity. So for example, we would say that our productivity is basically us being productive citizens. Productivity is not necessarily classified into groups of saying that, oh, productive in construction or productive in reading or productive in parenting or productive in radio journalism or productive in, it's just being productive. And that's what I'm focusing on. So they said that in order for you to increase your productivity, you have to focus on managing your energy and time efficiently, minimizing distractions and prioritizing tasks. That's how you apparently increase your productivity. That's apparently how you become a productive person. And that is what I want us to discuss. But when I look at it, us in our 30s and 40s and 50s, right? I feel that, no matter where you start in your life, right? This is the chase that everybody is doing because I know the ones that have had a good head start, right? The ones that started working immediately, like were in their early 20s and they got their house in their 20s still. And then they got a car in their 20s and everything was on time. They are still going through the burnout. They are still going through the burnout. They are also just like us that started later. So I don't know what the mathematics is there, but maybe you guys can come through and help because I'm tired. I'm tired of being an adult, but I also don't want to be a child. I don't want to be a child because there are so many privileges here at being an adult that I don't want to give that seat up. But the stress that comes with it, the tension that comes with it, the the blood pressure situation, even the kind of diseases that you guys are getting, we are getting, the kind of diseases that we are getting, I know it's cholesterol. Oh no, it's kidney. Oh no, it's bladder, what? Oh no, it's heart, what? I'm like, bruh, can you cut us some slack? Like, if I had my way, right? I would escape and go and live a very peaceful life somewhere. And in this little peaceful life that I'm going to live somewhere, right? I want to be self-sufficient. I want to be self-sufficient so that I don't need anything or anyone. But I feel like having a mindset like that is more of, is it really going to work? Is it really going to work, and is it going to be something that is good for the girl? So, ladies and gentlemen, let's take this quick breather, and I'll be right back.
Lipuranenge no wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwefu tete opoye ekukulile oshafafana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwala onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evito danjuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa Nuneo don, o tukwetira o special ange, tashake ngeje pa omarudi tayo loka, opone ujendi fenawa, nokumona oijamoiri nawa, ninge kwata fanona, Monica ko Eagle FM, onore tatuimwe mbali heali, nola natu, heali bali no heali, ileko mberewa, nora hetatu natu, bali o hetatu watatu, oma felane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news, Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? Either a person who does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the Eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the Eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Pulling Heartstrings with the Matriarch here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. Ladies and gentlemen, we are talking about increased productivity. How are we going to increase our productivity, especially now that we are in the second half of 2025, and I think that this one is a stretch, right? Everything nice basically happens there around June. Everything nice, like, yeah, you get into the rhythm, the cash flow is nice, and winter happens, and then it's like, oh. And then it slows down a little bit, and then it comes back up. But when it surfaces again, right, you're so exhausted and you're so fatigued, and then you're just trying to make it through September, October, and November. And then when December comes, it seems like a holiday. It seems like it's a vacation. It seems like it's resting time, but there is no resting time. So I'm starting to believe that we are the wicked that the Bible talks about because they said there's no rest for the wicked. I feel like we don't even give ourselves rest because there's not enough time to give ourselves rest because we are working for the future of the people that we brought here into this world. And these people, they didn't ask to be here. So I think that is the burden that we all live with because...
Tired of being stuck in queues or left on hold? Our online sign-up lets you get the connection you need in just a few minutes. Simply head to paratus.africa/Namibia and press the online sign-up button. Then choose from our exciting ranges of fiber, Sky-Fi or mobile LTE products. Fill in the application form and you're already done. Of course, you'll also enjoy free installation on your new package. Sign up online today to enjoy effortless connectivity.
Hey, we're even being caught off guard. So we're talking about productivity. And I was talking about the children, right? We bring these people into the world and it is our responsibility as guardians of these people to make sure that their future is secure and their lives are happy and their lives are stress-free and their lives are not perfect, but definitely better than all of us. We always try to one up our parents most. We always try to do better than our parents. So whatever our parents did, we want to give our children also like, 2 times better or 1 time better even. Just better. If we used to walk to school without shoes, then we are going to give our children shoes. You know, they're still walking, but we're going to give them shoes. We're going to make it a priority for the shoes. And that's basically our lives right now. So. How do we increase our productivity as people? Eh? How do we become more productive and try and not drown in the winter that is here? Because the winter is also giving off that the days are short kind of thing and the nights are extremely long. How many times do you wake up in the middle of the night and you're like, ah, it's only 11:30. I slept such a long time ago. It's only 11:30. The nights are so long. I feel like the nights are so long and the days are so short. You wake up and then it's already dark. It's already nighttime. So how are we going to increase our productivity? Manage your energy. Number one is time and energy management. Now, I don't know why, but the energy thing, right? Your energy that you are having inside your body. It has been a conversation that is new because it was always time management. It was always time management, time management, time management. But more people are talking about energy, and I feel that energy is a conversation that also needs to be had because there are so many things that drain us of our energy and we don't recognize it. Because we don't even know when we are having our highs and when we're having our lows. So manage your energy, not just your time. Recognize when you're most alert and focused and schedule your most demanding tasks in those periods. So what this is saying, ladies and gentlemen, is look at the time that you are most awake and you are most focused. So for me, right? Why this is a bit of a challenge is because I'm more of a nighttime person. I am a very terrible morning person. Like, I'm a very, very bad morning person. And I feel like I have more energy in the night than in the daytime because I don't know why actually. I think it's maybe my sleep pattern that is also a little bit messed up. But even on days where I don't have to work like until 12, midnight, right? Even on my off days or even on my vacation days, it's very difficult for me to just sleep. And even prior to radio, even when I had an earlier slot, I just still sleep like at 2 o'clock. I can think about ideas. My most brilliant ideas and my most effective ideas were created at night because of the silence that comes with nighttime. I believe in the silence that comes with nighttime because everybody else is sleeping and there's no noise, there's no distractions and there is no interruptions with your train of thought. And that's why my most productive and my most focused times, right, is nighttime. But if the things that you have to do are daytime things, because you can't say that you want to go and collect your water bill from City of Windhoek at the time that you are most focused and most alert, if your time is 3 a.m. because City of Windhoek doesn't work that time. So maybe if we are managing our time and our energy, right? Maybe we can try and sleep a little bit earlier so that we can get up a little bit earlier and not be tired when we get up. Because sometimes you sleep late and then you wake up tired, or you sleep early and you wake up tired. So maybe we can just work with that. And also the food that we are eating, right? It plays such a big role on our bodies and our minds, and we are not really paying attention to that one. And then number two, group similar tasks together to minimize time spent switching between different types of work. So if you're running your own business, for example, and you are most now the secretary, you are Gustavo basically. So you are secretary, you are the accountant, you are HR also, and you are the banker, and you are also the employee, and you are the cleaner. Then maybe, right, what you can do is have a journal where you write down your tasks and things that are of the same nature. You put them in a category. Now, if you are pushing papers, right? Pushing papers is basically just working with paperwork. If you're pushing papers, then you can put all the papers at, for example, 9 o'clock until 12 o'clock, you're just doing admin. That's it. So even if you have to go and sweep what, even if you have to go and do what, you do that earlier on so that when you start with 9 o'clock, that's all you are doing. You don't have to jump in between tasks and say, okay, so, from 9 o'clock to 12 o'clock, I'm going to be pushing papers. And then I'm also going to be, playing Cocomelon with the baby. And then I'm also going to be picking up the plants from the other retail. And then I'm also going to be looking at products. And then I'm also going to be, because it doesn't work, because they are different types of tasks, you know, so put your tasks together, group them together, and they must have similarities. And the similarities here is that it could be location, it could be activity, or it could be type. And type is now, okay, so these are papers, this is admin, or this is banking, or this is what, and then you put it in a category. So put your things together. If you're saying, if you're working the farm, for example, if you are Odigohamp, what that would look like is maybe vaccination goes together with milking the cows, for example. Milking the cows and vaccination goes together because the cows are then in one place. So you milk the cows, then you vaccinate the cows, and then you pithamo the cows, right? Then the cows go. then those activities are done, because you can't go and you can't pitithamo the cows, and pitithamo is open kwehurur. You can't let the cows go and graze outside, and then you have to ring them back and then close them up to vaccinate, and then after that you then start milking. It won't work. Right? So group the things together and see. Then if your next task is to build the other room, then that one you can group it with everything that is home related. So you're building the other room and you're also fixing the corridor, and then you're also fixing the sitting room. So everything is done in one space, but everything is done. And when you are done with this, you tick off the things, and then also you can, if you have to go to town, for example, then you can either put town in between fixing the house and gathering the livestock. You can put it in between there. So from 12 o'clock until 2 o'clock, you give yourself, that time to go to town and do whatever you had to do in town, and then come back and then still do this. So it's basically just planning your day and grouping the things in such a way that you won't miss anything, because they will be in chronological order. And then number three is allocate space, allocate specific time slots for particular tasks to create a structured schedule and improve focus. So you see, allocate a specific time. You know, 9 o'clock to 12 o'clock, we are dealing with the livestock. Everything that has to do with livestock inside the kraal, that's what we are dealing with. That's a specific time. And then the next one is building the house. So we are going to be building the house from 3 o'clock until 6 o'clock. That's the time that we are going to be working on the house. So all the things that we could possibly do within the house, let's get it done within these 3 hours. That is time blocking. Okay? And then take regular breaks. Taking regular breaks is a difficult one, because some of us, we work like slaves, because we apparently want to finish earlier, but it's not healthy. It's not healthy for us to not take breaks, because we burn out. So you are already burned out, and then you go and burn out more. So that means you will not even end up finishing everything, because you are tired. So in between milking there, you can give yourself like a 20 minute break. After you are done milking, then you get your 20 minutes break, and you go and drink your cool drink. You have a conversation. You laugh a little bit with your people that are helping you and assisting you. And then you say, okay guys, tea break is over. Let's get back to work. Then you start with the next process. So take regular breaks, even if it's not long breaks, it's just a little breather. But also I urge us to stay off the screen, stay off social media, stay off the internet, stay off the phone. When you are doing something, right? I don't encourage anybody to be on the phone, because also focusing and concentrating on the phone is also an activity on its own. So that means even when your brain is just supposed to be resting and not doing nothing, right? Or not seeing nothing, it is still going to be running the treadmill, because you are now feeding it information, and it's also unnecessary information, because you are now scrolling through those 1 minute clips, and you are scrolling through people's status, and you are scrolling through TikTok, and you are scrolling, and you are not actually even just taking in the moment and taking in what is happening around you. And that in itself can also be strenuous towards your mind and towards your body as well. And it will also, you never see time flying. Have you noticed how you can go onto your phone and think that, oh no, I'm just going to go on my phone for 5 minutes. I'm just quickly going to just browse through. Then you check, right? And then you have been on your phone for 2 hours, but you were not watching one consecutive thing. You're not watching anything important. You're just going through reels. You're just going through shorts. You were just going through a status. You were just going through unnecessary information that you are just filling your mind with. And that in itself is bad. It's not good, guys. The cell phone came to destroy us. To be honest, the cell phone came to destroy us, and it is destroying us in more ways than others, because it comes with so much technology. Technology is beautiful, and then it's also bad at the same time. That's why if you are going to be in a place that is supposed to be away from the noise, right? Then truly just be away from the noise. Have you noticed how your kids are incapable of being away from the noise? So they are the whole time, eh, that you are at the village. Oshiri, your daughter's arm, she's even getting like, you know, strong arms. She's getting those strong arms from holding her cell phone up in the sky, because she's looking for network the whole entire time, instead of truly being in the moment and truly being with her siblings and cousins and what. She's not doing that anymore. It seems as though she's missing out on something that is out there, and she's just trying to catch it. So this was number one, time and energy management. We're talking about increased productivity. How are we going to increase our productivity, right? And we are going through the list and seeing how we can explain it and how we can best understand it. So we're going to number two. The first one was time and energy management. Under number one, there's 1.1, which is manage your energy, not just your time. Number two is a group similar tasks. Number three is time blocking. And number four is take regular breaks. And going on to number two, task prioritization and organization. Prioritize high impact tasks. Focus on the most important tasks first, especially those that yield the greatest results. So you are working, right? And there is maybe a file that you have to give in that has the potential of bringing in more clients, for example, or it resolves a whole regional issue, or there are just some tasks that are bigger than others. For example, you writing the paper so that you guys can request for toilet paper. It's that one you guys can request for toilet paper, and the other one is you guys can request an increase on the budget. Between the two of them, which one is more important? You have to weigh what is important to you. Is toilet paper more important, or is an increased budget more important? So you have to see where your priorities lie. Which one is higher value? Which one is better than the other? And you do the one that yields more results and brings in more of anything better. If it makes something better, if it's done first. For example, if you're working on a house, right, and you have to prioritize high impact tasks. A high impact task would be you fixing the roof. Yeah? You fixing the roof instead of fixing the squeaky bed. The squeaky bed is a bed that you can still lay on, even if it's squeaking, and nothing is wrong with the bed apart from the squeak. An open roof, right, is a danger hazard. And then also, if it starts raining, the damage that the rain can do to the property inside of the place where there's a faulty roof, right, is bigger than the damage that can be done to a bed that is not fixed because it's squeaking, right? They are just different. So you prioritize the one that is more important. So which one is more important? Going to school to study so that you can write your exams and you can study in a place that is quiet, or fulfilling the promise of playing video games with your younger brother? Because your younger brother's on holiday, but you are not on holiday. You are still writing exams, and now you have to prioritize. Now your younger brother is like, yeah, but you said we are going to play video games. And then you prioritize the video games, but at the end of the day, this high impact task that you're supposed to do, like going to the library, going to study, right? So that you can have a brighter future, you can graduate, and you can get a job, right? this is high value. Now, you don't go, and then some minutes are taken from this time, and then effort is taken from this time, and you don't do as well as you're supposed to do. It's basically just weighing your options, which one is bigger than the other. Which one is bigger than the other, and which one is more important than the other? So, ask yourself that. So, that's number two. Focus on the important one, or focus on the bigger one that yields better results, and you can come back to the small tasks, right, a little bit later. And build a better to-do list. Organize your tasks by priority and break down large tasks into smaller, manageable steps. So if you say that, okay, so my big tasks, right, is going to the library to go and study. Okay, so you can say that if you're going to be breaking it down, you can say that, okay, I'm going to start with the module that I understand the most. And I'm going to spend 2 hours on that one. And then the second one is going to be the one that is a bit harder. And I'm going to spend 3 hours on that one. And then last but not least is the one that's the hardest, right? I'm going to spend a little bit more time on that one because it requires me to do a lot of research, to do backtracking, and also to do summaries, and it's also to do highlighting and all of that. So it's going to take up a lot of time. Or you can even do it vice versa, that you're going to start with the difficult one first because it will take up a lot of time, and also that is the module that you are writing first. So if you are writing the difficult module first, it would be advice that you start with studying the difficult module first, and then give it enough time, ample time, for you to understand, for you to grasp, and for you to do everything that you need to do in order for you to catch it. And you write these down, which, okay, I'm going to do principles of management. I'm going to do that one. I'm going to study that one first. And then the next one is organizational behavior. And then the next one is going to be pathology or whatever. Right, you're going to put everything like that, and you're going to put it on a list, and that is exactly what you're going to do. And when you're done, right, it's rewarding for you to tick off that you are done. It also stimulates your mind to say that we are doing tasks and we are getting these tasks done. So it also motivates you, okay? So that to-do list is extremely good. And if you are a person that struggles to some degree with to-do lists, right, I would suggest that you paste it on the wall. You get like Bostik, and then you just write it and you paste it on the wall so that the first thing that you see when you get up is your to-do list. You can even write on your paper, check your to-do list, and then you can go and check your to-do list in your diary. I never thought there would be an importance of diaries, but here I am in my diary era. Okay. And the next one is identify long-term priorities by categorizing tasks based on urgency and importance. So, identify which ones are long-term goals. Like if your long-term priority is to get your driver's license or to get your learner's license, right? And this is a long-term priority. Then you can categorize it in a sense of urgency. Okay, so this year, what do I want to do? Or this month, what do I want to do? So if the driving license is part of the mix, and maybe, opening, you guys must come through and give me ideas of what you guys are doing in your lives. So basically all your tasks, it must be based on identifying long-term priorities. Like, what do I want to do in the next year? What do I want to do in the next 6 months? What do I want to do in the next month? What do I want to do in 5 years? What is important? What are things that I must achieve within the next 5 years, within the next 20 days, within the next what? And then you put them in an order of urgency. Like, which one is urgent? Okay, I need to submit, you people, Yeah, the application forms are out, yeah, for all these universities. So you people that are thinking that, oh my goodness, I'm just gonna do that like a little later. How about you say, okay, matter of urgency, I need to apply for the course that I wanted to do, and I need to do what, and I need to do what, and those are the things that you put up there. And you put it like, which one is urgent? Okay, so it is urgent for me to acquire my 160 for my learners. So this is now something that you work on daily. Okay, so I'm going to save this 50, then I'm saving this 50, and then I'm going to save this $60. Then I'm also going to get like a little bit of cab. So that's how you do your urgency check. You say that this one is very important. Why is this one very important? It's very important because I'm currently applying for jobs, and most jobs require you to have a driver's license, because most jobs, most employers, they have vehicles and they need their employees to be able to drive from one place to another. It lowers the costs, and it also makes work faster and better. So that is why. So I want to have a driver's license by August, so that I can apply for the post that I want to apply for. Yeah. So those are things that you have to do. And then there is the 80-20 rule. Identify 20% of tasks that generate 80% of your result and focus on them. So, let's say you have a small business, right? Let's say you have a small business and your business consists of cleaning. Good evening. How are you, darling?
I'm good.
Mm-hmm. Ngai topo pisanje. Oh, uno na makani sa mikaro man. No man.
Hey, baby.
Tanga.
Pauli.
Mm.
Pauli mawa. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Opo uli ne. Uli na akoro tino komenyo. Mm-hmm. Okay. Hey. So how are you doing? How old are you now, Anna?
24.
Ne? How is that? How is that?
How is what? The age, I know.
Hey, how is that being your age, you?
I even know.
Ne? Is it almost like a nightmare?
Eh?
Is it almost like a nightmare?
I honestly don't know. I feel like it's just the same as all the, like, as all the 20s.
Ne?
Yeah, so. Oh. Yeah, nothing new.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit of challenges here and there. And
what are your challenges?
I don't know.
Do you have a lot of energy, though?
I have.
Do you have a lot of energy?
I know.
Why not? Like, I'm always tired.
I know. Not really.
Really? So you're always tired as well? Like all the other old girls and boys?
I'm always home.
Mm-hmm.
Just, yeah.
Why?
There's nothing nice about this age.
Really? Absolutely nothing. You can't think of anything nice about it.
No.
You know, when I think of 24, né, I can't even remember what it's like to be 24. Shijai.
I don't know. Yeah, but as long as I'm not 30, I'm fine.
All right, I think Anna's airtime, they're finished, because whoa, okay, but do call back. So ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the 80-20 rule, and just give me a quick moment.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondutu toingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile oshafafana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Unongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi to danjuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune udo, o tukwe tira o special ange, tashake ngeje pa omarudi dayo loka, opone ujendi fenawa, nukumona oijamo ili nawa, ninge pata fanona, Monica ko Eagle FM, onora itatu imwe, bali heali, nola natu, heali bali no heali, ile kumberewa, nora itatu natu, bali o itatu watatu, omafilane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news, Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipura nenge no wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukulile. Oshafafana nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihewekike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi todaya njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora itatu imwe bali heali nola natu. Heali bali no heali ile kumberewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
It's been a hectic evening at the office, but we are present. Alright, ladies and gentlemen, we're diving into the 80-20 rule. Okay, we're diving into the 80-20 rule. So basically,
What the 80-20 rule says is identify 20% of the tasks that generate 80% of the results. So if you are working a business, right? There's something that is 20%, right? Within the business that brings in 80%. And, it is said that you must follow that one. Hey, maybe I'm explaining it nicely. Do you guys hear what I'm saying? So basically within that concept is that you do the least or you do something that is small that has a great impact. Something that is little that has a great impact. For example, like right now our businesses, right? They depend on WhatsApp so much. So, maybe, right? If you are so busy with your day and your business and all of that, posting your content, posting your services that you offer on what? On your status, right? Has now the potential to bring in the clients. So that one is doing something that is menial to get a big result. Vestangela. Mm-hmm. So basically we are talking about our productivity. Okay. So the next one is number 3, minimizing distractions. Identify and minimize common distractions like social media. I told you guys, like social media, notifications and unnecessary emails. If you are an email person, then I suggest that you stop leaving your email wherever you go on the internet. You are just dropping your email, because that's where spam comes from. So every single time you are on your emails, there is something that comes through. And if you're a person that works with emails all the time, right, you'll be distracted by these things because that's your domain. Like with me, if spam is coming, I'm not even a person that will notice spam coming, because I'm not really an email kind of person. But if you are an email kind of person, you should minimize your digital footprints and where you leave your email, so that unnecessary spam is not going to come and distract you when you are sending out your emails to your employer or your employees or wherever you are sending emails to. And then notifications. You know how we have these social media pages. We are on TikTok. We are on Instagram. We are on Facebook. You know, these kinds of apps, they give you notifications constantly. Like who liked your picture, who started following you, or who commented on this comment that you, or on this post that you also commented to. And this is what they said. Those are unnecessary notifications. And those can be a very big distractions, especially for those that are studying, you know, the young ones. Or even the seniors that are studying, right? Those kinds of notifications, right? They can derail you, especially if your phone is on loud. Then when these notifications come in, it is a distraction. And also I've noticed that, especially, with me, I've noticed that my personal line is a canvas of distraction, because there is most now the groups, there is the what. The only group that I really do consider is the work group, right? That one, whatever is being said there is important. Whatever it is, it's definitely very, very important. But there are other groups, for example, that are, it seems as if the people on that group, they don't do anything else. But I also noticed that 90% of the people that are on that group, are maybe retired, man, because they have so much time. They are sending voice notes. They are sending pictures. They are sending videos. Every day, onwards, you that. And those notifications, when they come in, they come in. So every single time you go into that group, it's like 1,000 things that have been said, 1,000 things that have been sent, 1,000. It's crazy. But I think that some of you guys are also on such groups. What you can do with WhatsApp groups is just mute them. You mute them forever, and if it's going to get lost in translation, or if it's going to drown in your messages, right? You can always pin it. You pin the group so that you can go to the group whenever you want to go to the group, and you can see what has been posted and on your own time, not because the phone has been irritating you so much and there's just so much going on, right? Because it becomes overwhelming. Because if you start engaging, for example, there's a picture of Onkwaita Hawarani Katana, you understand? And you are sitting, you are already struggling with getting that jump start and that motivation to start working, and then you see this, and then the story is juicy. Oshirine, you just, by the time you go and check, you have been on your phone for the past hour, 30 minutes. And that is most now not productive. And that is what we are trying to move away from. So with groups of that nature that have the potential to distract you and derail you, right? I suggest that if it's WhatsApp, you pin the group so that it's still in eyes view, and then also you can now go and check it at your own time after you've muted the group. So you mute the group in terms of the notifications that are coming in from that group are silent. Yeah, they're, it's not a loud sound like a message that came in. No, it's not a loud sound like that. It's more of the things are coming in. The information is coming in. It's just that you are not alerted instantly when the message comes in. So you go and check things per intention, per what you feel and what you want. So it is all on you. It is done with intention. You are intentionally going onto WhatsApp to go and check what the group is saying up in your time that you want to do it, instead of it being thrown in your face and then you just subject yourself to it. And then also social media. Now, social media life is very, very active, even for those that pretend like they are not active. What you go and do on social media plays a role. Because if you are about watching the Vambu movies, then I'm telling you 90% of the Vambu movies are at least 7 minutes. It's like short films. They're at least 7 to 10 minutes. Now, if you watch three of those, right, that's 30 minutes gone. And then you watch another three of those because you don't feel it. You don't feel it because it looks like it's just 7 minutes, just 10 minutes, just 9 minutes. By the time you go and check it, an hour, 30 minutes is gone. So, limiting our social media interaction and also our social media notifications, right? They are also intense. If you are receiving 20 notifications from Instagram, 20 notifications from TikTok, and 30 notifications from Facebook, right? Those are all notifications that are coming in. There are notifications that are coming in that are making a noise, that are making you tap onto it. And when you tap onto it, you are hooked. It's a wrap. You're in. So that's what we're trying to avoid. And the second one is create a distraction list. Keep a list of things that pull you away from your work to help you stay focused. So what keeps you from your work? All right, let's make an imaginary list. Let's use me as an example. What keeps you away from your work? All right, children. If you're at home and you're working from home, what keeps you away from your work? It's children. The children come in, the children are knocking, the children are speaking, the children are coming to you, the children love you so much, right? Because you're just the world's greatest parent or whatever, and they're always just in your space. So for me, the children are a very big distraction because my children are the knocking kind of kids. So every 5 minutes, they're like, mommy, especially if I'm home, then I don't know. I even asked them the other day, Kucha, guys, I know when I'm not here, who do you guys knock for? Who, like, what is this that you guys are doing here in this country? Okay? In this motherland? What is this that you are doing? So for me, one of the distractions would be home. So it would be advised, right, to find a space, and set up boundaries with the children. Now, setting up boundaries with the smallest one is a bit difficult because she doesn't know boundary things. She doesn't know that her mommy is working. It's just, mommy. And that one is a bit difficult. So what happens is, not proud to say this, but somewhere, somehow, if I'm working from home, I just, like, I lock myself in. And my roommate, he can, if he's in the house, he can open, he can come in with a key and lock the door, you know? But it's a lot of sneaking. So make a list of the things that distract you. So it is children. And it's the phone. If you're working, like, maybe if you're studying, right? Like, what distracts you? It's the phone. It's loud music. And what else? What else distracts you from living up to your full potential in your house or in your space? So if you are at work, maybe it's open door policy. Open door policy is my door is always open. So now the colleagues are coming in and the clients are coming in. Everybody's just coming in and you are not getting anything done. So, what else can be a distraction? Friendly colleague also is a distraction. A friendly colleague that wants to come and talk stories with you in your office, right? And later on, you just go and realize that the day is gone. I haven't done my work, but this person finished their work first before they came to your office to come and tell you stories the whole entire day. And maybe unnecessary calls on the cell phone. This could maybe be a distraction. So if we are looking at, if you're working from home, if it's the kids and it's the children that are distracting you, then it's better for you to find a little corner or a little space, or just if you can not work from home and you can go and work at the library or you can go and work anywhere else, then maybe you will not be distracted. And then number two would be maybe a phone. So you put the phone on absolute silence. I don't believe in putting phones on dark mode, maybe because I don't understand the benefits of it, or I don't understand the logic behind it. I feel like you're just abusing your poor cell phone. Just put it on silent and put it inside your bag. That's it, where you can't see it. And the calls can still come in. I don't think that it's nice to put your phone on do not disturb. I don't know. Maybe you guys can enlighten me on why do not disturb is better. But for me, I feel like a lot will miss me by, like, a lot of things will miss me if my phone is on do not disturb. Because do not disturb, isn't it the setting where nothing is coming in? There are no calls coming in. Nothing is coming in. Then why don't we just switch the phone off then? You know, but we are parents, we got kids, we got parents, we've got responsibilities. So I don't believe in switching your phone off. I believe in notifying your people that live with you what you're going to be doing, and your phone is going to be on silent. So if there's an emergency, you will look at your phone every 2 hours. But if there's no emergency, they shouldn't call you. They shouldn't text you. I know that one is very difficult. Then we go to number three. Maybe it could be loud music. And this is a distraction for you. Now, loud music could be played by a cousin, or it could be played by a neighbor. You could be living in an environment where loud music is a norm. And it's just driving you crazy. So what you could do is maybe go to a quiet place to get your tasks done, or to try and have a conversation with the noisemakers and tell them that you're going to be busy from this time and this time, if they could just keep their music down or just switch it off altogether respectfully. Or you can find ways to block out the sound from inside. there's this thing with studios. They all have these eggshells that they paste all over. Apparently it's for noise, do not go outside or something like that. But maybe you can find creative ways to block out sound and to block out noise from the outside to the inside. And the open door policy, maybe you can start having a sign on your door that says do not disturb, and people must respect that. So maybe you can start there with don't just barge in and don't come in and I'm busy right now, you know. So you can just put up a little note, like a little sign on the door, you know, that says do not disturb, and the other side says come right in or something to make it witty. And friendly coworkers are the types of people where you guys are friends, you know, you guys are work friends and you guys spend a lot of time together. You guys go to the shop together at lunchtime. But the problem with friendly coworker is that friendly coworker finishes their work, or they might even have like take work home and go and do their work at night. And then tomorrow they just submit. And then that means they have nothing to do at work whatsoever. And they come and spend their time with you. Now, spending their time with you is a distraction for you because you didn't go home with your work and you didn't do an all-nighter on your work. You actually still have to do your work and you have to concentrate on your work. And now here is your friendly colleague telling you about her boyfriend, and she's telling you about how life is going there, and she's telling you all these stories, or she's just in your space and you can't really focus or concentrate and you do mediocre work. So with that type of friend, right, you just literally, you close the office, guys. You close the office and you put on the do not disturb, work in progress, do not disturb. You can put, like, you can, I've noticed in my years, right, that people deal better with humor than direct words. Because if you put, you see that caution plankiki, that one that is like yellow or whatever. If you put that onto your door, or even like, you see that car, the drihook, the red one. If you put like a little paper onto that kadri hook and then you put it inside there and you write something witty and say, kucha, work in progress, do not cross these borders, or you make it seem like a whole traffic situation, right? People won't take offense in it, and they are more likely to actually hear the message more than don't disturb me. Because they would come in and then they would expect the type of person of do not disturb me. And it might cause like a little, especially for those that are very sensitive, it might cause like a little inside their spirits. So, I don't know. And last but not least on your distraction list is unnecessary phone calls. You know how you speak to somebody a lot and you don't actually realize that most of the conversations that you're having on the phone are unnecessary, and they're not even conversations that you should be having during working hours. And you spend so much time, especially with these new lovers, right? You spend the whole day talking to each other, 1 hour, then the hour finished, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. Those are unnecessary phone calls because you are not being productive. And in this, it is not helping you. It's not assisting. So get rid of the unnecessary. But that was just a little list that I came up with. And maybe you can look at your own list. Or create your own list and see how to go around it, you know? And, okay, create a distraction list. And then the next one is turn off all your notifications. Limit interruptions by disabling notifications on your phone and computer during focus work periods. So the computer also, the computer is most also like a cell phone. So thereby you logged onto the computer, your WhatsApp is there, your Facebook is there, you're also on the Instagram and you are doing all kinds of things on the computer. And now you disabled your phone and you put it in the bag because you're smart, but everything else is happening on the computer. So it will just still leave you at the same place. So when you disable your notifications or when you take off the sound from your notifications, right? Because if you need your notifications, you just need them. But what you can do is take off the sound. You know, if you take off the sound on your notifications, you put your bag, you put your phone in your bag. Remember that the laptop is also a device, okay? So just apply it there. And number four, building productive habits. Cultivate deep work. Cultivate deep work. Dedicate focused time to tasks that require deep concentration and avoid multitasking. So many of us assume or think that multitasking is this gift from God that we got. But multitasking, in my opinion, multitasking, right, means that I'm giving small percentages of myself to certain tasks so that I can work on as many tasks as I can at a time. But does that mean that I am giving these tasks 100%? I believe that if we are going to be doing a task, let's do that task, let's finish that task, and let's move on from that task so that, right? So that we give it our 100% and then we don't have to come and redo it. Most of the tasks that we give our 20%, our 50%, our small percentages, not 100%, right? We often have to come and reread, proofread, edit. We have to come back to it to make sure that things are in place. But if you did it correctly from the beginning, right, you wouldn't need to proofread, you wouldn't need to edit, you wouldn't need to go back to the document to make sure that it is actually correct, because you don't know if you wrote Red Bull inside, because you were also drinking Red Bull and you were thinking about Red Bull and. So maybe, right, we can do one task at a time, make sure it's done to perfection and it gives us 100%. That's why we have to determine which ones are important and which ones are not important. So if we are doing an important thing, let's not multitask. Let's just do this one important thing and we finish it immediately. And then when we are done with this one, then we can move on. Now, there are some tasks, right, that are spread out in terms of, it's not something that you can just finish in a day. But what I'm saying is that you can take, you can take off a large portion of it. You can say that I'm going to do 25% of this work that I need to be done, and I'm going to put my whole 100% into this 25% that I am doing. And when I'm done with this 25%, I leave it and then I resume tomorrow so that I can also get other things done. But I'm not, but what you don't need is you sitting there and you are doing this very, very important project, and then you are also on the phone, and then you're also dealing with children, and then you're also dealing with unhappy clients, and then you're also dealing with extremely happy clients, and then you're also dealing with a boss that needs you to put up plane tickets that are going to where, and you have to do all of this. Like it doesn't work. Something there is going to slack, and you might not notice it today, you might not notice it tomorrow, you might not notice it ever, even, right? But I can guarantee that there's always something wrong. And that is why sometimes, right, you find that somebody that's overwhelmed like that is the same person that can finish up everything, and they have a flight tomorrow, they have a flight to catch, and they go to the airport, and guess what? They forgot their passports. They didn't even pack their passports. They packed their bikini for the beach. They packed their what? Because they are going on vacation. And then they missed their flight because also they were doing other things, and they left the house approximately 2 hours before the flight because you have to be there 30 minutes. There's no way you can drive back to Windhoek and then back to the airport again. There's just no way, even if you were waiting for a Yango to bring for you your passport because somebody from the house sent, there's just no way. And that is why you must do things with due diligence, right? Do them with due diligence so that you never have to do it again. Okay. All right. So multitasking, for those that take pleasure in being a star multitaskers, right? I don't believe in multitasking. I believe multitasking is giving half of what you can actually do. And that's it. I feel like if we could give 100% to things that we are doing, we'd have better results than those that are out there, giving small percentages and making it seem like it's absolutely cool to be giving half percentages and giving small portions of what they could do. Like, they don't live up to their potential. I feel like we don't live up to our potential when we are scattered all over the place. And that's why if you're going to school, go to school. If you have to do multiple things at the same time because you won't survive, then there I can understand. I can understand when you are going to be mediocre. I can understand when you're going to excel. I can understand. But if you have an opportunity where there is no such pressure to go above and beyond and burn yourself out, then I would say that take that one. Take the road that gives you great results. And take the road that gives you that gives you an opportunity to make something 100. You understand what I mean? I hope you guys get it. Okay, cool. Moving on. Eh? Okay, if possible, delegate tasks that can be handled by others to free up your time for more important work. This means, ne, allow others to help you. How? Allow others to help you. You don't have to be Superman, Spider-Man, Catwoman, and the Marvel squad. You don't have to be everybody. Everybody can just be their own person. You don't have to be the Hulk, and you don't have to be Snow White at the same time. You can give tasks to other people. For example, if you have a nanny, and you've got two cars, why is your nanny not driving to go and pick up the kids? When will she learn? Why?
Love a bargain? Then get all your essential products for just 599 Namibian dollars only, and you save. 5 kilogram nice rice, 10 kilograms of Champion Super Maize meal, 10 kilogram bag of Marathon white sugar, 10 kilogram bag of Bokomo Fed cooked flour, 500 gram grande pasta, and pay just 599 Namibian dollars. Only up to Sunday, the 7th of July. You save, I save, yes, we all save at You Save.
Ten kilograms of Bokomo rice. You save, we save, we all save it. 10 kilograms of wonderful. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. How are you guys doing? We are talking about increased productivity. And we're basically running through the motions. We're running through the few elements of increased productivity and how to do it. And I'm basically just trying to school you through it so that, you know, we can win. We can win together. And also, keep in mind, when we have these conversations, I'm also just pep talking myself also, ne? I'm just like you guys. I'm also just pep talking myself. I'm also just motivating myself also. I'm just giving myself also that little push and that little nudge. You know, like, yeah, I'm being my own cheerleader, guys. I'm being your cheerleader and my cheerleader. We're cheerleading together. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to listen to one TED talk that talks about how to get your brain to focus, you know, because I think that, hey, especially this time of the year, like when we are in the 7th month, many of us were like, it was just January yesterday. So we might be having the scare, which the year is almost over, or we might be having the, oh, I just started living now because first of all, I was just still paying back January, February, March, you know, April. I'm just getting into the hang of things right now. So there's a lot that's happening with us, but how do we get our brains to focus and stay focused? Right. And, ladies and gentlemen, the audio clips that we play, that I'm playing here at Eagle FM, Eagle Media House does not take ownership in it. Please. It does not take ownership in it. This is purely for educational and illustration purposes only. So we are not out here saying that, oh no, that is our thing. That's our TED talk. This is just to make a point and to hear a different perspective, right? So that we can maybe, just maybe, get to a point where we are understanding each other. And this is going to be our anthem for June and July. We're going to have a few of these insightful TED talks from phenomenal people all around the globe, right? In order for us to know that we are also not alone in our shindig. And that's going to be our anthem for June and July. And then we'll go back to straight up, just me and the interview, straight up. But for now, let's see how we can get our brains to focus. And I'll meet you on the other side of this one.
A few years ago, I began to observe something in my own behavior that made me a bit uncomfortable. And that was that from the moment that I woke up to the morning, to the end of the day, my life was a series of screens. I started the day with the thing that woke me up first thing in the morning, my phone. And so I sat there in bed watching various cooking videos on Instagram and bouncing around between a bunch of different applications. But then it was time to get out of bed and cook breakfast. And so the thing that I focused then on, in addition to the omelet in the pan, was the iPad that was right next to the oven. And then it was time to do some work. And so I went to a different screen, which was attached to another screen itself, all the while this little devil on my wrist was tapping and beeping and blooping and distracting me as I was trying to get important stuff done. But there was one particular offender out of all of these different devices that I wasted more time on than anything else. That was this dastardly thing, my phone. I could spend hours on this thing every single day. And so I decided to essentially, for all intents and purposes, get rid of the thing for a month. As an experiment, I thought, I'm going to live on this thing for just 30 minutes every single day at a maximum. And so this is the amount of time I have for maps. This is the amount of time to call my mother. This is the amount of time that I have for everything that I could possibly want to do, to listen to music, to listen to podcasts. And I observed what happened during this time. It took about a week to adjust downward into a new lower level of stimulation. But once I did, I noticed that three curious things began to happen. First, my attention span grew. It was like I could focus on things, not effortlessly, but with much more ease than I could before this experiment started. In addition to this, though, as I was going about the world, and especially when my mind wandered a bit, I had more ideas that my mind arrived at. And on top of this, I had more plans and thoughts about the future. Getting rid of one simple device led to these three effects. Why? Noticing this a few years back led me on this long journey to get to the bottom of what it takes to focus in a world of distraction. I pored over hundreds of research papers from front to back. My office, I don't know if you've ever watched one of those crime shows where somebody's solving a murder, and so they have this big Bristol board and their string attached to papers, attached to memos, attached to newspaper clippings. This is like what the state of my office was. I flew out to meet experts around the world who study focus. I conducted more experiments on myself until the point I had 25,000 words of research notes about why this is the case. How does technology influence our attention and our ability to focus? I want to start with the attention spans that we have. This is how we pay attention to the world around us and how much control we have over our focus. The research around this particular area is fascinating. It turns out that when we two work in front of a computer, especially when our phone is nearby, we focus on one thing for just 40 seconds before we switch to doing something else. And when we have things like Slack open as we're doing some work, this lowers to 35 seconds. But the reason that this is the case is not what we might think after looking at the research. We think the problem is that our brains are distracted. But after looking at the research, this is what I've come to know as a symptom for the deeper problem, which runs much more deeply. It's the root cause of this distraction. It's not that we're distracted, it's that our brains are overstimulated. It's that we crave distraction in the first place. Our brains love these tiny little nuggets of information and social media and email and these things that we do over the course of the day. There's even a mechanism in our mind called the novelty bias, by which our mind rewards us with a hit of dopamine, one of those wonderful pleasure chemicals, the same one that we get when we eat and order a whole medium pizza from Domino's, the same one that we get when we make love. We get that same stimulation when we check Facebook. We get this dopamine coursing through our mind, and so we not only crave distraction, but our mind rewards us for seeking out and finding distraction in the first place. So this is the state of our minds today. We're at this hyper-stimulated state where we bounce around between these bunch of different objects of attention that are very, very stimulating for our mind. And so I thought, okay, if the phone had this impact on my attention span, what if I lowered how stimulated I was even more still? And so, this feeling that we experience when we go from being in a state of high stimulation into a state of low stimulation, it has a name. That name is called boredom. this restlessness that we feel when we have this super busy week and then we're lying on the couch on a Sunday afternoon thinking, all right, what am I doing now? I put out a call to the readers of my website and I asked them, what is the most boring thing that you can think of doing? I'm going to make myself bored for an hour a day for a month. And so I did some stuff that I still am upset about from my readers to this day. Day one, I read the iTunes terms and conditions for 1 hour. It's actually shorter and more readable than you might think. Day four, I waited on hold with Air Canada's baggage claims department. It's very easy. This is the trick. If you want to make yourself bored, don't call the reservations department. Call the baggage claim people, because you're going to wait for hours if you ever get through it all. Day 19, I counted all the zeros that I could in the first 10,000 digits of pi. Day 24, I watched the clock. Tick, tick, for 1 hour. And 27 other activities this month. Jeez, I still think back. But curiously, I noticed the exact same effects as I did during the smartphone experiment. It took about a week for my mind to adjust downward into a newer, lower level of stimulation. And this maps curiously on top of research that shows that it takes our mind about 8 days to fully calm down and rest, like when we're on vacation, as an example. Our vacations need to be longer than they are today. But I also noticed that my attention span expanded. I was able to focus even more effortlessly because I wasn't surrounded by fewer distractions, but my mind was so much less stimulated that it did not seek the distraction in the first place. But the fun part were these ideas and plans that struck me that didn't before. And the reason that this is the case is because my mind had a chance to wander more often. There's a great quote that I love that you might be familiar with from J.R.R. Tolkien, where he says that not all those who wander are lost. And the exact same thing is true, it turns out, with regard to our focus, with regard to our attention. If you think back to when your best, most brilliant ideas strike you. You're rarely focused on something. Maybe this morning you were taking a shower. Or maybe some morning in the past, and then your mind had a chance to connect several of the constellations of ideas that were swirling around in your mind to create an idea that would never have materialized otherwise if you were focused on something else, on your phone, for example. This is a mode, especially when we do this deliberately, when we deliberately let our mind wander, I call this mode scatter focus. And the research shows that it lets our mind come up with ideas. It lets our mind plan because of where our mind wanders to. This is fascinating. It turns out that when we just let our attention rest, it goes to three main places. We think about the past, we think about the present, and we think about the future. But we think about the past less than we might think. Only about 12% of the time, and often the time we're recalling ideas in these thought-wandering episodes. But the present, which is a much more productive place to wander, we wander to think about the present 28% of the time. And so this is, you know, it's something as simple as you're typing up an email, and you can't find a way to phrase something because it's very delicate. Maybe it's political. You go and walk to another room. You go to another room of the house, of the office, and the solution hits you because your mind had a chance to approach it and prod at that problem from different directions. But here's the thing. Our minds wander to think about the future more than the past and the present combined. Whenever our mind is wandering, we think about the future 48% of the time. This is why when we're taking a shower, we plan out our entire day, even though it hasn't started yet. This is called our mind's prospective bias, and it occurs when our mind wanders. If you're good with math, or maths, I should say, not in Canada anymore, these numbers don't add up to 100. It's because the rest of the time our mind is dull, it's blank, or it doesn't have an idea inside of it that is rooted in time. But whatever it is for you that lets your mind wander, something that's simple, something that doesn't consume your full attention, mine happens to be something that is not necessarily stereotypic of my age and gender demographic, but I love to knit. Knitting is one of my favorite hobbies. I knit in planes, I knit on trains, I knit in hotel rooms. I was knitting in the hotel room before this event today, because it helps calm you down, it helps settle your nerves. And I come up with so many ideas when I knit, I have a notepad next to me. But whatever it is for you, it might be taking that extra long shower, it might be taking a bath, upgrading your shower to a bath, so you can soak not just with your body, but with your ideas as well. Could be simple. If you're at work, walking from one room to another in the office. Very simple change, but if you don't use your phone during that walk, your mind will go to the meeting that you're about to attend. It'll go to the call that you were just on. It'll wander to the ideas that are circulating, and it'll make you more creative in this way. It could be something as simple as waiting in line and just, I don't know, waiting in line. It could be getting a massage. You know, whatever it is that lets your mind, well, I love this picture so much. Whatever you love doing, here's a pro tip. Ask your masseuse to let you have a notepad in the session, because ideas always come to you and you're always incubating things, and so capture them so you can act upon them later. But I think after doing this deep dive into the research, we need to make two fundamental shifts with regard to how we think about our attention. We think that we need to fit more in. You know, there's all this talk about hustling. I'm an anti-hustler. I'm one of the laziest people you'll ever meet, and I think that's what gives me so many ideas to talk and write about. We don't need to fit more in. We're doing enough. We're doing too much. We're doing so much that our mind never wanders anymore. It's sad. This is when our best ideas and plans come to us. We need more space. If you look at what allows traffic to move down a highway, what allows it to move forward isn't how fast cars are moving, as you might expect. It's how much space exists between the cars that allows traffic to move forward. Our work and our life are the same way. The second shift. We like to think of distraction as the enemy of focus. It is not. It is a symptom of why we find it difficult to focus, which is the fact that our mind is overstimulated. I have a challenge for you. It's a 2-week challenge, but it's a challenge to make your mind a bit less stimulated and simply notice what happens to your attention. How many ideas do you get? How does your focus change? How many plans do you make? So for 2 weeks, make your mind less stimulated. There are so many great features on phones, on devices, that'll let us eliminate a lot of the time we waste on our devices. Use those features, not only to become aware of how you spend your time, but how you can spend less so you have more ideas. Have a disconnection ritual every evening. One of my favorite daily rituals, I disconnect from the internet completely from 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. My fiance and I, we have a weekly disconnection ritual, a technology Sabbath every Sunday, so we can disconnect from the digital world and reconnect with the physical world, the real, actual world. Rediscover boredom. You don't have to do it for an hour. Please don't call Air Canada. It's just a world of hell. But rediscover boredom just for a few minutes. Lay on the couch, and where does your mind go? And scatter your attention. You'll find some remarkably fruitful things in that attentional zone. If there's one thing that I have found to be true after doing this deep dive into this world on how we focus, it's that the state of our attention is what determines the state of our lives. If we're distracted in each moment, those moments of distraction and overstimulation build up and accumulate to create a life that feels more distracted and overwhelming, like we don't have a clear direction. But when we become less stimulated, when we make our mind more calm, we get the benefits of added productivity and focus and ideas and creativity, but we also live a better life because of it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. I'm very hungover, and I have 100 slides, so this probably won't work. I've been told that in 18 minutes, a red dot will appear on my forehead, and there'll be a gunshot, and my body will fall into this stage, and so that will be the end of it. In the meantime, let's try and learn some stuff. So I've noticed that from chatting to people today, there's some really interesting people, and there's like families here, there's people who support each other. You guys were telling me at dinner yesterday how there's this real community to the whole St. Gallen University. So I want you to look at the people that you know in this room and kind of send them a psychic message of thanks for all the support and all the things they've done to kind of help you be the best version of yourself. Thank you. This is good. And then while you're doing that, I want you to realize that according to statistics, global statistics, you're looking at the people most likely to murder you. And the reason I say this, it's a trap, right? You know those motivational talks and those articles you read on LinkedIn about productivity and all those things? This is the satanic inversion of all of that, okay? So please forgive me for what's to come. So basically, I have done a TED talk before, and it was banned. It was not allowed to be shown. They didn't put it up on the internet. They said that the ideas in it were dangerous. So let me present to you the most dangerous group in the world. This is the most dangerous TED talk in the world, apparently. Okay? So let's see what we can do with it. So me and my brother, sorry about the hair. My brother and I have always been complete losers. And basically, the one thing that my dad would always say to us was, he's Scottish, so he sounds a bit like Shrek. He'd say, boys. Even when he loved us, we just felt cold. You know, like, it doesn't feel like you love us, really. And so he'd say, boys, remember, a joke is only a joke if both people think it's funny. And honestly, I'm in my 30s now, and I still fundamentally disagree with that. I think it's much funnier if one person thinks it's funny and the other one doesn't. So all we would do, me and my brother, was play pranks and practical jokes on each other constantly. So this is all we had. The only skill we had was this. And we lived in situations like this at university, as I'm sure you guys know this feeling. Why is it at a certain phase of our lives we think it's really awesome to collect a cone and take it home? I don't understand that. So strange. Yeah, that really resonated, right? We lived in hell, basically, right? This was our house. We lived in absolute hell. We were complete losers in every possible way. Our procrastination meters were through the roof. We didn't do any work. I see that you're resonating with all this stuff. And what's interesting is now my job, as you just heard, is I have to teach innovation, right? So it's an amazing situation. I don't know how this happened, where basically this complete loser is now the guy that's supposed to go and tell, you know, and I've worked with the biggest celebrities in the world, the biggest CEOs in the world, and basically I've realized that innovation is kind of BS unless it comes down to change. And what's interesting is if I can change, anybody on this planet can change, okay? So what my current job is now is basically I go and meet with leaders. You know, I've met with some of the, you know, like I said, some of the biggest CEOs and the biggest celebrities in the world and governments and politicians. And I basically go in and they say, can you please change this person who just does not want to change? But what's interesting, and this is the kind of serious point, is that technology, as Lulu was saying a bit earlier, technology is growing at such a rate because of Moore's Law and another incredibly extremely exothermic reactions to the way the world is changing, our human adaptability, our ability to change, isn't able to keep up. So this is actually why I think this information I'm about to give you is actually really, really powerful and important. Because literally at this point in history, we cannot keep up with the rate of change, and it's going to get faster and faster and faster. Now, obviously, this is worrying for, you know, the Mr. Burnses and the CEOs of the world, but much more importantly, it's worrying for every single business on the planet and for every single human being on the planet. You guys are probably training to do things that may not exist in 15 years' time. I do a job now that, you know, my careers advisor, there was no such thing as being the head of innovation anywhere. So it's an incredible moment, but what we need to think is, how do we update our human operating system so that the rate of change isn't going to get ahead of us, ahead of us, ahead of us, and leave us in a really bad situation? So the common way to do this, and because it's nearly January, is this, right? You know this one, don't you? Everyone's like, oh yeah, that thing. And you sit down there on January the 1st, and you're like, this year, it'll be different. You get rid of the cone, right? No, don't need that anymore. I'm growing out of that. And you write down all these goals and all these things you want to achieve, right? And then you're told, willpower. Willpower will get you there. And then you say, my name is Willpower. And for like 3 days, you are Willpower. And you're walking around. And whatever that thing that you're supposed to do is, you did it. And the thing you're not supposed to do, you don't do. And then suddenly you go, I'm going to read some books. And so you get all the kind of success literature and you go on LinkedIn and 5 productivity hacks of Elon Musk. And you go, yeah, amazing. This is amazing. I'm absolutely killing life, right? And then you get into this hacker mentality and everyone is, you know, you read Silicon Valley stuff. You start eating food that they grow on the moon. And anyway, you can tell I was drinking last night. And then life comes along and just goes bang. Because everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face, right? And so what we realize is, you know, this is my contention. I read every one of those books. I did everything apart from eat the food from the moon, because that doesn't even exist. And it just honestly does not work, right? It's time to take a breath and accept that it is another trap. This whole billion-dollar success literature industry, the whole, I have to say, 95% of TED Talks, everything about hacking and changing and trying to alter yourself from the inside, it doesn't work. Okay? Sorry to bear this news. You can see why TED have not decided to publish previous TED Talks. And you know why? It's a function of time. In the film Interstellar, there's a great line where, the old scientist is asked, you know, who's your enemy, essentially? What are you afraid of? And he says, I'm afraid of time. And this is going to get a little bit conceptual, but We constantly think that this person that's going to do all these things that the five productivity hacks that we read on LinkedIn said to do is this person that we're going to be tomorrow, right? But tomorrow is this place, this fictional land where 99% of all human productivity happens. But when it actually comes, it's just the now again, and we're the same person, right? So this version of ourselves. So we set ourselves up with like, I'm going to be this person. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to stop collecting cones. I'm going to do whatever it is, right? But when that moment comes, it's the now. And we're the same person. So we think we're this guy, but we're this guy. And what's really interesting is we've been told, you know, this is the information age. We've been told that more information can solve this problem. So we read more, and we think, I'm going to download more audiobooks, and then I've got friends that listen to audiobooks at like three times the speed, so they can consume more information, so they can learn more, so they can change. But that doesn't create change. Someone just went, yeah. One guy. Dad? Strange. Anyway, so we're really in this, and I fundamentally believe it's a trap. And I think it's a very profitable trap for a lot of people. So we're told, if you consume more information, if you read that other book, oh, have you read The Lean Startup? Oh, yeah. Well, have you read the other one, The Long, Long Tail? Oh, yeah, yeah, you've got to read this one. Well, and I'm not saying don't read. I mean, I've never done any reading. None of you doing me any harm, but whatever. But the point is, it's a fundamental situation when we have to accept that we don't need any more information. And what I've learned from teaching celebrities, CEOs, governments, you know, even politicians, how to change and how to move with technology is they don't need me to come in and tell them more stuff. They know what they've got to do. Like, you all know what you need to do to pass your exams and all the things you need to do to be the people you are. The question is, will you do them? So at a certain point, you've got to kind of fess up to this. It's you versus you. And I'm not certain that the version of you that you think you want to be and the version of you that acts in the way that you're not so happy with, I'm not sure that those two can honestly be said to be the same continuous self over time. And so actually, I think we might be modeling this wrong. And I think economics, the economic paradigm, has given us this homo economicus kind of, transient preference ordering, they call it. It's basically we're the same person now as we will be at 2 o'clock in the morning. You'll see, at 2 o'clock in the morning at the after party, I will not be the same person. So I'm just going to be totally honest with you. I went through a period where I was very, very, very affected by this. I was reading everything there was to read. I was really getting into all this stuff. And it wasn't working for me. My procrastination meter was through the roof, as I said. And I really, honestly began to self-loathe. I thought I knew I could, and I knew what I needed to do, but I just wasn't doing any of it. And instead of doing it, I would read more. And so actually, I started to get to the point where I was suffering from unbelievable anxiety and panic attacks. And I'd be sitting there, and it was basically because I literally, chronically, was building up this expectation of who I was supposed to be or what I was supposed to do, and never ever delivering on that expectation. And I hope this is therapy, because I think we never talk about this. We're told that we're supposed to always feel like, yeah, we're moving forward, and the BS that we tell each other is, yeah, you know, it's all going well, actually. But I think that we're building this anxiety. And the moment that it really kind of changed for me was my Nana, who you can see in the middle here, and you can see my brother and me and all my family running around. This is my family, so you can see kind of where I'm coming from, really. My Nana was diagnosed with cancer, and I'll never forget this. My mum and my Nana had a chat, and Nana said she would love, when she's in the hospital, to have a little tape, back in the day, of music. So, you know, she couldn't use iTunes and all this stuff. So my brother and I said, we will make you this tape, and we will get it to you in your hospital bed. And my mum phoned a couple of times. She's like, Nana's really looking forward to that tape. It's going to be great. Like, can you hurry up, though, because, you know, she's not well. And we said, yeah, yeah, and went out on another night out, got a cone, brought it home, and went crazy and did all the things. And kept procrastinating, kept putting it off. Remember Nana saying to me on the phone, I'd love that tape. I'm literally in this hospital room on my own all the time. You know, I'd really appreciate that tape. Yeah, sure, we'll definitely do it tomorrow. Absolutely. You know what's going to happen, right? One day, mum called and said, Nana's gone. Like, don't worry about the tape. And that was the final straw. Me and my brother just went, this is it. We have procrastinated our way through 95% of our life. We're both suffering from crippling anxiety. And now the one person that we absolutely loved, that we owed something to, we didn't do because we were caught in the moment, and it was going to be this future self that was going to do it that never arrived. So this mixtape really changed things, and we really tore apart in the middle and said, right, never again. And we basically found, through research, this global subculture of people who actually, this was back in the days of the dark web, and you could get on there quite easily and do sorts of things. And anyway, that's enough now. Ask me at 2 a.m. And what we realized was that from Silicon Valley to Shanghai, there are people with a system that doesn't run anything like the system we talked about just a minute ago. And this system is called lock-in. And I want to give you this. This is a dangerous idea, okay? This is the dangerous bit. Lock-in is one of those things where if you want to go down the rabbit hole, you can go all the way down. So this is kind of cover your ears if you don't want to hear any more. Lock-in takes the idea that we are not the same person over time very, very seriously. And it basically says that the person you are at time A is a very fundamentally different person than you could be at time B because of your preferences and the way that you're set up. And basically those, as I said, you know, you have a critical self, a self knows you've got to make that tape for your nana, and knows you've got to do that work, knows you've got to do your TED talk tomorrow and not go out on the night before like I did, and an experiential self that wants to live in the now. So this future self, this critical self that knows what it needs to do and can consider time, and this myopic experiential self that wants to maximize in the present moment. And they, as I said, are not friends. This is a very famous footballer, George Best. You can see him having his experiential self on the left-hand side here, and his critical self was the one that paid. So you have this moment where you have something that's what we call in law a distributional issue of justice over time. What that basically means is that you maximize so much at one moment that you completely take from the future, and the person you take from is yourself in the future. So smoking, drinking, all these things, they essentially take from someone, but that someone is someone that you don't have any relationship with yet, but it's you. So this becomes this really metaphysical thing, and it was really interesting that when George Best died, he literally wrote this thing saying, don't do this. And so we started researching this and going really deep into this, and there's actually this thing in demonology where in Judaism there's this demon called the Yetzer. And the Yetzer basically pulls you away from the self that you could be into this far lower self that actually tears your life apart. So actually we started to take this idea really, really seriously. And if you look at it, personal decisions are now the leading cause of death. And you have this situation where whatever it is, there is this distributional issue of justice that we have to deal with. It's causing so much angst, so much pain, and now with the economy changing so fast, if we can't find a way to upgrade ourselves, we're in deep, deep, deep trouble. So that's why I thought, now is the time to bring this idea out. And it makes sense because we're foraging animals, right? We literally maximize in the moment because of our evolutionary psychology. And like, you know, the classic example of this is Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve got chucked out of the Garden of Eden. They got chucked out of paradise for an apple. I mean, maybe there's a metaphor there, which I haven't got, but, you know, there's an apple, right? And look, they look like they're like, oh, Mom, Dad, oh, come on. Like, but so what you end up is this moment where we forage, we take what we can, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we may die. So we're constantly maximizing the present moment. So how do you escape this demonic trap? You've got to find a way to lock in your critical self, your self that knows what time is going to require of it, and lock it in. So when that werewolf self starts to come out, you can't let it control you. And Ulysses is the classic example of this. So Odysseus knew that the sirens were going to be calling him, and he tied himself to the mast and told his men to completely ignore everything he said. And this is game theory. So in game theory, it's all about mutually assured destruction. It's all about changing the payoff matrix. So you've got to make it really expensive, really painful, and massively consequential if you don't do what you know you must do. So these things don't work. These things do. And we built the world on contracts. We built the commercial world that we live in on contracts. I can contract with you about anything almost, right? And we accept that there are penalties and punishments and enforceability to that contract. Consequences if I don't come through with what I'm supposed to do. But there's no such thing as that with promises that you make to yourself. So we started to say, what if we supported each other? What if my brother makes a promise and I enforce it? Because promises without the sword are nothing but words. And so this is the kind of apocalypse now. You've got to make fear your friend. So you've got to be so afraid of not achieving that. Cortez, when he arrived in South America, burnt all the ships, so there was no way back for the men. He made fear their friend. There's now ways of self-excluding yourself from casinos, so that you literally can't get in. And what will happen is this other version of yourself will try and fight back. It'll be like an exorcism, right? But eventually, I'm just going to finish with this. If you embrace the fact that it's more terrifying to fail than it is to succeed, you will achieve insane things. And this is me at Buckingham Palace collecting an award. This is my brother going to Harvard. And we only achieve this stuff through this. And I just want to say, if we can achieve anything and update the human operating system that fast, I think there's something in this for everyone. And hopefully we can use this, get a bit more specific about it and build it into a system and actually try and update ourselves as fast as technology is having us to update ourselves. Thanks so much, guys. Cheers.
Like you, maybe, when I'm talking to somebody new, one of the first things that they notice about me, and maybe they say it to me, maybe they don't, is how big of a nerd I am. And at first I was kind of put off by this label, but over time I've come to embrace it in a way I never expected to. Now, I'm a nerd about a lot of different things. Cosmology is one of them. I can watch hours of TED Talks and lectures about cosmology, and sometimes I do. I'm a nerd about meditation. I've been meditating for 6 or 7 years. This process of continually bringing your attention back to your breath, it sounds so simple in theory, but in practice, it's one of the most difficult things and one of the most rewarding things in the world. But the thing that I'm the most nerdy about and the most curious about is something that you probably wouldn't expect. And that idea is productivity. And I don't mean productivity in kind of the really business-like sense where you boil your life down to a spreadsheet and really become all efficient and you fire up Excel to track your life. I mean productivity in the sense of making better use out of what limited time we have every day so we have more time for the things that are actually meaningful to us. And I was fortunate enough, you know, I've been into this idea of productivity for about a decade, and I was fortunate enough when I graduated university, I received a couple full-time job offers because I was productive up to that point. But I figured if there was a time in my life to do something meaningful with my time, it was then. And so I started looking at what other options I had, and productivity became one of the focuses of that thinking. You know, if I was to experiment with one thing that really I wanted to dig deep into, it was productivity. This is a picture of me that I refer back to quite often. It's taken about a decade ago. I just realized right now I'm wearing a Liverpool T-shirt. I keep referring back to this picture. This is a revelation for me on stage. But I'm reading a book named The Joy of Stress, one of those corny books where the author puts a picture of himself on the cover. And, you know, I've been into this idea of becoming more productive for about a decade. And so I started to crunch the numbers. What would this productivity project look like? And they weren't great. They were okay, though. I had about 12 grand that I'd saved up to that point. Mind you, those are Canadian dollars, so relative to most other currencies, it's not as good. But I figured that's about a grand a month, and divided by 12, that would get me 12 months of following my passion. And so that's exactly what I did. I brought this curiosity of productivity from the background in my life that had been following me up to that point to really the foreground of what I was doing. And boy, did I dive in deep. I pored over all of the academic literature I could find, all the books I could possibly find about productivity. I interviewed my heroes, the greats in the productivity space. Some people have normal heroes. My heroes are productivity experts. But the thing that took the cake as being the most interesting for me, and frankly kind of the weirdest, were these productivity experiments that I conducted on myself, where I used myself as a guinea pig to experiment with what it means to accomplish more over the course of the day. And every single one of these, I conducted dozens, were designed so that I could push on the limits of how much I could accomplish or how much I can do, both mentally and physically, every single day. And so I did everything, you know, to measure information overload. It's kind of a boring topic, and, you know, there's a lot of research about it. But to measure that and to really test it and experiment with it, I watched 70 hours of TED Talks over the course of 1 week. So 296 TED Talks, while doing things like taking more breaks and taking a siesta and even meditating to see how that impacted information retention. We're constantly connected. I don't have my phone up here on the stage because my girlfriend says it looks bad in my pocket. It's one of those big iPhones. But maybe you're on your phone right now. You know, managing our attention is so difficult, especially today when we have so many objects of attention that we can focus on. And so to test that, I used my smartphone for only an hour a day for 3 months. And the first few weeks of that were hell, let me tell you. But after that, it felt like I'd kind of cleared a bend and a whole new expanse of focus and creativity and productivity opened up for me. People. I think people are an underrated idea as it relates to productivity. You know, they're the most important part of our life. And so do they affect our productivity? I measured that as well by living in isolation for 10 days, cutting myself off from people, which showed me that people are essential for being engaged with our work and being motivated in our work, but people are also the reason we have productivity in the first place. They're what make it worthwhile. To test working extreme hours, I worked 90-hour weeks for an entire month, alternating between working 90 hours 1 week, then 20, then 90, then 20. There's this saying that the early bird gets the worm. And so to put that to the test, I woke up at 5:30. Every morning for 3 months to see how that influenced my productivity. And I absolutely hated that experiment. You know, it took me 3 months to shoehorn that habit into my life until I realized that I absolutely hated it. You know, I was less productive under these circumstances. And that led me to a lot of curious research on how there's zero connection with your socioeconomic standing and what time you wake up at. It's what we do with the hours of our day after we wake up that make the difference in how much we get done. Fitness is another thing. You know, elevating our heart rate makes us more productive. It lets us bring more energy to what we're doing. And so to test that, I gained 15 pounds of muscle mass over the course of the productivity project. When I was finished, you know, I was fortunate enough to be able to have been invited to write a book about the productivity project with a big publisher. And so they gave me 30 weeks to write it. They thought that was a really short time frame, but I challenged myself, you know, to write a good book in a smaller amount of time. So I ended up writing it in 24. But maybe the experiment that, it's kind of a weird one, this one, that takes the cake as teaching me the most about productivity is meditating for 35 hours over the course of a week. You know, I did as much productive work as I could, as much research and interviews and writing during that week as well. But, you know, meditation was this curious interest that kind of snowballed in tandem with productivity. You know, I've been into productivity for about a decade. I've been experimenting with it. But meditation has been in the background as well for the last 6 or 7 years. But when you look at the two ideas, productivity and meditation, they seem to directly conflict with one another. You know, productivity, of course, we think about it as being doing as much as possible, whereas meditation is about not doing much at all. And so, you know, it's kind of tough to admit, but a couple months into the productivity project, I stopped meditating entirely. But when I stopped, so I could focus more on productivity, I noticed that several things began to happen. I became more stressed out, especially in the first few months when I declined those jobs and, frankly, nobody was visiting my website. More people visit now, but the only people were my girlfriend, my family, and that was about it. And so it's so easy to be hard on yourself in that process. I became stressed out, and that affected my productivity. I had less energy and motivation because I didn't know when it was time to take a step back from my work to recharge. I became distracted more because I couldn't focus well, and I wasted more time because of that. I became less focused, and so I had to spend more time doing things because I brought less attention to it. I worked more often on autopilot, and this is maybe the idea that impacted my productivity the most. Because I didn't work deliberately on what was actually important, and I worked in response to the work that came my way, I wasn't able to step back and think about what I actually wanted to become more productive about in the first place. And I even gained weight.
meditation and mindful eating were what allowed me to lose about 40 pounds several years ago. I used to look a lot different than I do today, and it's because I became deliberate about when I was eating instead of eating on autopilot. And so seeing these conditions were what motivated me to conduct this productivity experiment to meditate for 35 hours over the course of a week while trying to be as productive as possible in those situations. And so I did sitting meditation, you know, where you... Where you sit down on a meditation cushion and you bring your attention to your breath. I did walking meditation where you bring your attention to your feet and whenever it wanders, you bring it back. I ate mindfully. I did mindful chores. And I noticed several curious things beginning to happen. I felt less productive, first of all, because I was less busy than I was before this experiment. But at the same time, I brought this deliberateness to my work that I hadn't had before. I worked with intention behind what I was doing. And so even though I had less time to spend on my work, I overcompensated by that, by spending more attention and energy on my work instead. And because of this, I wrote a ton. I wrote thousands of words that week, and I earned that time back. And I think this is one of the most crucial things that you can think about when it comes to your productivity, is it's one thing to read about productivity, but you have to make all that time back and then some, or else you're basically just looking at productivity porn. And there's a lot of that out there. But maybe the biggest idea that this experiment taught me was that productivity is so much more than just managing our time. Of course, we all know the importance of managing our time, but I would argue that there are other ingredients that deserve to sit on the same level as managing our time. And our attention is one of them. You know, the more focus we bring to our work, the less time we have to spend on it. And the less we're distracted, the more we can hunker down on our work and get into these flow-like states where we forget what time it is and we become so immersed in what we're doing. It doesn't matter how well we can manage our time if we can't also manage our attention. And our energy is another idea that deserves to sit on that same level. Because if we're burnt out at 1 or 2 in the afternoon, our productivity becomes toast. You know, if we don't frequently step back to take breaks and recharge. And interestingly, during the project, I found that every single thing I researched or experimented with or interviewed somebody about fell into one of these three different categories. And so I think productivity is the confluence of all three. But more than that, and what this meditation experiment taught me, even though it was a week, you know, looking back, I still get so many little nuggets of wisdom from it, was that it doesn't matter how busy or efficient we are. What matters is how much we accomplish at the end of the day. That's what I think productivity is about. And more than that, it's about accomplishing what we intended to do in the first place. And so if we intend to have a perfectly relaxing day on the beach and put our feet up and recharge and, you know, maybe listen to a few TED Talks and totally disconnect, and then we do, I would argue that we're perfectly productive. And the same is true if we intend to have a really business-like day and submit a couple TPS reports, whatever the heck those are, and ace a job interview. When we achieve what we intend to, we're perfectly productive, and the best way to get there is to manage these three ingredients of productivity: our time, our attention, and our energy. I want to finish by giving you a few practical ways that fit in with this new way, this more human way, I think, of looking at productivity. So much of the Productivity Project was this year-long idea of sifting out the stuff that works from the productivity porn, the stuff that doesn't work. And I want to give you five to end off with. You ready? I'll do them rapid fire. Number one is the rule of three. And the rule is very simple, and it's a very simple intention setting rule every day. And here it is. At the start of the day, you fast forward to the end of the day in your head and you ask yourself, by the time the day is done, what three main things will I want to have accomplished? That's the rule. It's so simple, but it's almost stupidly simple, to be honest with you, but it lets you separate what's important from what isn't, and it only takes a few minutes. You don't have to spend hours integrating a complex system into your life to managing what you have to get done. The second one is to do one thing at a time. This is the most important graph you'll ever see as it relates to your productivity. The fewer things we try to do in the moment, the more productive
we become. Because we don't scatter our attention around in 1,000 different directions at one time. Instead, we channel it with this laser-like focus at one thing at a time. And that forces us to become more deliberate about what we're working on, not only in general by setting these 3 daily intentions, but also in the moment. Number 3 is a simple one, but it's so powerful as well. And it's to cultivate how much energy you have over the course of the day. And this is common sense advice, but common sense, unfortunately today, when we're busier than ever, isn't always common action. And so doing the simple things like eating well, putting good fuel into our body, and elevating our heart rate a few times every day, and getting enough sleep. You know, sleep, I see it as this way of exchanging our time for energy. Why wouldn't we want to get more of that? Number 4 is to disconnect from the internet. Something interesting that I found with the highest performing executives that I encountered during the Productivity Project was that they see the internet as a nicety instead of a necessity. You know, they focus on other things because the internet usually isn't where our most important work lies. It lies in engineering a new product. It lies in doing things that actually change the world. And this is one of my favorite stats as it relates to productivity. The amount of time we spend on the internet procrastinating. When we're connected to the internet, we spend 47% of our time on the internet procrastinating, which is insane. You know, things quite literally take twice as long when we're connected. And so when we disconnect deliberately, especially when we hunker down on one of these 3 daily intentions, we can become that much more productive when we see productivity as how much we accomplish. Number 5 is another counterintuitive one, but I haven't found anything better than it for my productivity, and it's to daydream. If you think to when your most brilliant light bulb insight hit you, chances are you weren't hunkered down in your work or doing 1,000 things at one time. Maybe you were taking a shower, and then boom, you know, from out of the blue, an idea strikes you and you have to get out early to find a place to write it down. Maybe you're letting your mind rest and wander when you're on a nature walk, and maybe you left your phone at home. You know, it's in this mode that we connect the dots in our head. There's a constellation of dots in our head that are waiting to be connected, and we need to get into this daydreaming mode to do it. So I think this is, especially today, this is what productivity is meant to look like. You know, it's about this intention. It's about this deliberateness and becoming easy on ourselves as we strive to get there. Because really, the reason productivity is so crucial and so important in the first place is we only have so much time. You know, whether in general or whether every day, and most days we feel that. But when we manage our time, our attention, and our energy better, we can accomplish so much more. Especially when there's intention behind what we do. Thank you.
Especially when there is intention behind what we do. So basically, ladies and gentlemen, just have intention. That's all. Just be intentional about what you're doing with your day and what you're doing with your life. And I think that if you are achieving the things that you wanted to achieve within the day, then you are productive, like the man said. So, moving on. Quickly, moving on before we say goodnight, right? Cultivate a deep work. Dedicate focused time to tasks that require deep concentration and avoid multitasking. And if possible, delegate tasks that can be handled by other people to free up some of your time. Please, you can't be everything. Please allow others to help you. And then number 3, analyze your work patterns. Analyze your work patterns to identify areas for improvement and refine your approach. Plan for the unexpected. Anticipate potential challenges and have strategies in place to address them. The blueprint. The blueprint is everything because it has contingency plans. It has exits, or it has exits there in corner left, corner right, and in the middle it has exits. So have a plan. You must have a plan. Okay, so what do I want to do tomorrow? I want to do this. I want to do that. If this doesn't work out, then I have to do it like this and I have to do it like that. And that's planning for the unexpected. And I know that some person or some pessimist or some optimist might be telling you that. But yeah, that's like manifesting a bad day or manifesting something bad. It's not manifesting something bad to happen. It is just being realistic that we don't know what is going to happen. And if something bad happens, it must not derail me completely because I didn't plan for it. Okay? And identify time wasted activities and eliminate them to improve future productivity. So if you slacked a little bit and then you went there on the internet and like the man was saying in the TED talk, you know, the internet should be a little thing that we do because we want to do it. It shouldn't be a thing that we do because we can't stop doing it. Because there are so many of us that are addicted to our phones, that are addicted to the internet, that you can't walk without your cell phone. You can't go an hour without looking at your phone. You, like, that's an addiction. Okay? So identify how much time you've wasted and on what, and then try and change that, try and minimize that, try and take that away. And then set realistic goals. Ensure your goals are achievable and break down a large task into smaller ones to manage them better. And then make fewer decisions. Reduce decision fatigue by establishing routines and making some decisions in advance. Okay? So it's like, don't have so many decisions to make per day. Ow. It's like, with my business, and my manager, right? My business has a manager, so I don't have to pay there. What I had given her was executive power. Executive power is the right to make decisions on my behalf that benefit the business. So, for example, there's a difficult client that comes in and nobody wants to work with this client, and the client is insulting, and the clients have what? They don't need to call me and ask, what should we do? The manager literally just says that we're not dealing with you. Can you please leave? Here's your refund and bye-bye. You know, because there is a thing called bad clients. There are bad clients out there that they're like omens. Like, ugh, it's like a plague. Like terrible, terrible clients. Customers are not always right, and customers are not always pleasant. And this is something that we have to also, I think we have to talk about it, because this theory of customer is always right and customer is the best because customer is putting bread on the table. What use is bread on the table when you are dealing with a broken heart because the customer came to step on your heart? That means you will not be productive with other clients because of this one client. And we will not have that. We will not have a client that is going to ruin the whole entire aura for all the other clients. No. It doesn't work like that. So, give tasks and decisions to other people. So your manager can literally make some decisions, and then as long as she just comes back or he comes back and then he informs you of what he has done, you know? And, okay, improve communication strategies to reduce time spent on back and forth exchanges. Back and forth exchanges happen a lot with service providers, right? Especially if you have time to entertain the said client. I believe that the back and forth situation happens a lot when it comes to service providers. The client doesn't understand why you can't just have them come in. Why can't they just come in whenever they want to come in? And you're like, no, but we work with appointments. Yeah, but at this other place, at this other radio station, I can just come in whenever I want to make, to come in for an interview. I don't have to call anybody, but we are not that radio station. Yeah, but you guys must be more like that radio station. Like, oh, the comparison that clients. I think tomorrow I'm going to talk about the customers. Tomorrow I'm going to talk about clients. Tomorrow I'm going to talk about clients. Because clients have shown people flames. Flames. How clients are very, Clients, customer, yeah, why are you guys not more like radio, or radio, because, for me, when I want an interview, I can just walk into radio, and then I just make my payment and then I just go and have an interview. Like how? But as we work with appointments, we work with structure. Like, yeah, but your structure is not the same as another radio station. Like, and this is something that happens so often. When it comes to dealing with clients that want to compare you to other businesses. And that is why I say that in order for you to have thick skin within any industry, right? You need to know why you are doing what you are doing. Because somebody will come to you and tell you, but Nangula is selling this same, Nangula is also selling Fardu and her things are $20. Why are yours $50? Like, you should build more like Nangura. Like, but them, they don't want their mothers to compare them to their siblings and to their neighbors. But then they want to come and compare your business, to Nangura's business and think that it's absolutely okay. Because if you wanted to be with Nangura the whole time, why didn't you stay with Nangura? Why are you here? You are here because my things are nice. Eh? My things are nice. Nangura doesn't have them. Nangura sells her things for $20 because her things are not nice. How? Ah, customer. So, be productive out there, ladies and gentlemen. Be productive and try your best. As long as you are pushing and you're moving, then I think that we are going to be good. But if you are having a little bit of a tough time, let tonight be the motivation that you needed, right? To be productive a little bit, to be in a better space. And also, if you take some of the tips and if you take some of the conversations that were had here by brilliant people, right? I think that we are going to be okay. I was also listening, and that's why you can hear the life in my voice now. I was also listening because I also needed that extra kick, that also push, you know? So, all right. Ladies and gentlemen, I bid you guys farewell. I love you forever and a day. You are important to me. I love you times God's mother, okay? Ciao, ciao.